morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Guardians avoided a sweep in Milwaukee when they beat the Brewers 4-2 yesterday. The Guards will begin a series in Houston tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. The Cincinnati Reds had the day off yesterday. They'll be in New York this weekend for a three-game series with the Yankees. First pitch from the Bronx is scheduled for 7:05. Team USA will look to get their second win in pool play when they take on Australia in the World Cup. That one will get started at 3 o'clock. And Wyndham Clark is your leader at the U.S. Open with a comfortable four-stroke lead. However, he'll have to finish the final two holes of his first round today after it was cut short yesterday as play was suspended due to darkness. This update is sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter. Visit them in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala or at rcdrv.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
T-Bone and Tyvis, can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
You serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Friday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He is not Tyvis for one more day.
Not yet.
Well, he is always going to be Joshua Perry. However, this is the final day of Joshua Perry joining me in relief of Tyvis Powell, who's been on, of course, paternity leave, but he will be returning on Monday. So, JP, I can't believe the 3 weeks has flown by like this.
It has absolutely flown by. It's been a pleasure to be able to hang out with you guys, and hopefully everybody gets their morning started off the right way listening to this program, but we are at the end of the road.
I know.
Sadly.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Sad, because I've had a good time working with you. I don't think we've done a lot of shows together before.
I don't know if we had done a show, like a full show.
Yeah, that's probably not. I know you've been on the show a lot this year. You pop in, you've been in studio, you've been on the phone, but like, yeah, doing a whole show. And this is what we were talking about before today. I was like, 3 weeks ago, coming in that first Monday, I'm like, all right, this could either be really fun or it could be like
a long 3 weeks.
After the first half hour, we're both like, oh man, this is not going well. This is going to take a while to get used to each other, whatever. But no, we hit it off right away. So,
yes.
Like, I think it was a good choice by you and or Tyvis. Because I think, how'd that story go? Because we weren't sure what to do when Tyvis was going to take his paternity leave. And then, as far as I understand it, you and Tyvis talked, and then
yes.
Tyvis came in to us. All I know is he was like, Joshua Perry wants to fill in when I'm gone. And I was like, great. That solves a big problem right there. But
yep.
How did that all work between you two?
It was basically the conversation of like, what are you going to do? And everybody knows Tyvis on this program, obviously. He's like, man, I don't even know if I'm going to take the leave. I'm like, you should take the leave. And he's like, yeah, we got to find somebody to fill in. And I'm like, well, I don't do a lot during the off season. And I had started filling in on shows. And I was like, I think it'd be a fun thing to be able to get in there. And he's like, call Fish. And so he, called Fish. And I was like, would you guys be open to a little residency while Tyvis is adjusting to his third child being at home? And that's how we got down to that. So fortunate it all came together. Like I said, I've had a blast with you guys. And shout out to my guy Tyvis, who I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
He had just left the gym. So he's getting ready to run on set.
Good for him.
Tomorrow.
Good for him. Tomorrow. Fan 5K. Otterbein. You can still sign up. 971 The Race. I don't know if you'll get like your name on the thing at this point. You may just get like a, hey, yay, glad you're here, a little banner thing that you wear. But otherwise, you can still get the t-shirt and the all that stuff, the medal at the end. But yeah, you can still sign up. 971 The Race. Tomorrow, we will be out there 8 a.m. at Otterbein. But Tyvis is going to do his 40-yard dash. And then everybody can else. If you want to try, you can try to beat him. But if you don't want to, if your 40-yard dash is not your thing, 1 mile, Common Man's doing the mile. I'm doing the 5K. I believe Reeser and others are doing the 9.71K. So whatever your speed. And I'll be walking the 5K. So you can walk this. You can run this. You can jog it backwards. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. But tomorrow, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully, you can be a part of that as well.
I knew Joshua would be a good fit because his takes aren't better than Tyvis's. They're just different. Like, you got
it's
like
true.
A vanilla ice cream being the alpha flavor versus like not eating bread. You got like Kurt Cignetti being the goat versus Giannis being the goat. Like, it's a lot of similar stuff being thrown around. It's just different.
It's exactly right.
So I knew Joshua would be a good fit on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it's a sad thing that you're leaving us. However, it's a good thing that Tyvus is coming back. So
it is
bittersweet, a bittersweet symphony. Some might say, is that a song either of you've ever heard?
Yes.
Okay.
I would have to hear it to be able.
It's
to.
Got the chorus is literally in the background.
It's a bittersweet symphony of life. I think life is already. I'm not sure.
I've heard that one.
Let's never do that again. How about that? So yeah, that's yeah. But either case, that's where we're at right now. So yeah, man. But it's been fun. Glad we got to do it.
It's been good.
Yeah. So now we still have 3 hours. Not like you're just leaving.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take my headphones off and I'm going to drive home.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good. LW, by the way, in the chat said there's a third chair. It doesn't have to end. T-Bone, Tyvus, and JP make it happen. So there you go. Have a third chair. That's I'm sure Fish has the budget for that.
I was gonna say. Just go fund me for right. Joshua's salary.
It'd be like a $1,500 GoFundMe. And I'd be sitting my happy ass right here.
Right.
That's how much you make a day here? Damn.
No, I don't want anybody to think that.
Good for you.
No.
I'm not getting that.
No. Gas money.
Yeah. Rusty said, I hope you get hundreds of beat Tyvus stickers. Tyvus is gonna hurt and fall, allowing everyone to beat his time. I don't know if he's gonna fall, but he we'll see tomorrow.
Man,
and of course Monday we'll update you. If you don't make it out to the race, then come back and join us Monday, because Tyvus will be back and then we will get the update, and then you'll join us at 8:30 on Monday, so like you always do with the breakdown, so then we can talk about how he did in the race too.
We need multiple stopwatches at that finish line though.
Yes. It can't just be one person. Yeah, it'll be like Buckeye guy is out there just like with the timer, and it's like, well, he's giving Tyvus. He's like 3.8. It's like, I don't think that's accurate. Yeah. I don't think that's what he ran the 40.
It's going to be like, Tyvus, can you sign my helmet? And Tyvus is going to be like, run the stopwatch first and we'll see what happens.
That's exactly right. Apparently, U.S. senators listen to our show because I saw this from Ross Dellinger. Amendments are being finalized for the Protect College Sports Act. One of them comes from Senator Ben Ray Lujan, L-U-J-I-J-A-N. Not sure how to pronounce that. Anyway, he is a Democrat from New Mexico. Apparently, this applies to all athletic departments generating $80 million in revenue or above. So all the big boy schools are doing that, right? Like, what is OSU generating in revenue? I want to say it's over. It's definitely over $100
million. Yeah, I thought it was.
Like, I thought it might be over $200 million. Yeah. I'd have to go look that up. But like, so this would definitely apply to the biggest athletic programs, right? But probably more than you think. It would require schools to use only athletic revenue or donations for all but the first $500 or $500,000 of a coach's salary. That first $500,000 could be paid using like public funds from the school. Like as it stands right now, most universities, I think, do this anyway, which is they have their own budget based off their own revenue. They don't necessarily get a ton of revenue from the academic side, the business side of the school, that comes, a lot of these programs are self-sustaining, but this would just codify that to say, you can't pay this coach with anything more than, you know, $500,000 from the public money. You can't be given, even though these guys are the highest paid public employees in the state, most of that money's going to have to come from private donations or from your own revenues. So yeah, they just want to put that into law, but that would effectively cap a little bit of the earning that these guys could have. And, I think, as Bo Bishop likes to say, I think we had that.
Yeah, I think we had it.
I think we said that. So, yeah.
So revenue for Ohio State Athletics, it was a banner year, $336 million.
Okay.
So, certainly they would have to find these funds, which you mentioned, like, that's how a lot of schools do it. Like, I know, for example, Michigan has endowments for the coaching positions, right? So it's like, you know, the Bob and Susie Turner endowed wide receiver coach.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So they,
here at Ohio State, you have Ross Bjork is the Eugene Smith endowed, like Gene Smith actually started that. But like,
so, you know, they've been finding money outside of the public funds to be able to do this, but it certainly makes this thing more interesting. And then you and I kind of talked about this. Every time I see these stories come out in collegiate athletics, I think, what is the most chaotic thing that could happen? And so I started immediately imagining a world where your big money booster is like, I don't want X, Y, or Z coach on staff anymore. Yeah. And the athletics people are like, no, the coach is in charge of that. Like, we're not going to just take your advice and fire the coach. And he's like, fine, I'm not giving you another penny. And then you have to start moving money around to figure out what to do, or you end up firing the guy. Yeah. That would be the interesting thing that comes out of this. But I think it makes sense. And I've always been, especially for the big boys who make a lot of money, the idea of using public funds when you can just use your own money that you have generated, like, we should never be doing that in the first place.
Yeah, I think
some schools can't help it, right? Like, some schools need to be able to use a little bit of both, right? Like MAC schools, for example, but I'm sure a lot of them wouldn't fall into this, but the big boys have to figure out a way to get it done on their
own. Well, and I think that does even the playing field a little bit, which, to be clear, as an Ohio State fan, the less evening of the playing field, the better for me, because right. Who's going to be at the top always is going to be Ohio State. Like, I'm not worried about that. It's just from the, that's one discussion that we as Buckeye fans care about. There's this whole other discussion, which is, can the sport sustain itself? And that's why, I mean, it won't totally shock me if the Big Ten and the SEC break off and do their own thing at some point. I know in this legislation, they're trying to prevent that.
They're trying their hardest.
Yeah, they really don't want that to happen. They've got a lot of rules that would limit school. They actually have a rule in this thing as it sits right now that says if you, I'm trying to remember the number that you have to have, but there, it's basically like the Big Ten, the SEC.
I think it's 800 million.
Yeah, that you have, like, as a conference that you have in TV money. If that's your deal, then you cannot realign. You right. can that the conference is frozen if you make any more money than that. So again, I find it so interesting that, like, the people who run our institutions can find all these ways to limit what can be done when you make certain amounts of money when it comes to collegiate athletics. Can't find that as much when your name's Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, but whatever. That's a different discussion for a different day.
Uh-oh.
The point is, all that said to say, this they're trying to save college sports, air quotes, because they don't think it's sustainable the way we're going. Those are two different, you know, goals, right? What Ohio State and what big time schools want versus what the little guys want to be able to keep their program going. That's a discussion that's going to be ongoing. But anyway, this Save College Sports Act, the big highlight from this, other than what we just told you, is that now it's passed a committee so it can go to like a full Senate vote. That doesn't mean it's going to get passed. It right. means now it can be like, before it goes to that vote, it'll go to the floor. It'll be debated.
Yes.
People will rip out things, put in new things. So the bill is going to constantly be Frankensteined. But we're getting to a point where there may be a vote on it. And then as I went to bed last night, because I saw this yesterday, all the articles, like, they're going to vote on it. They can vote on it. The Save College Sports Act takes another step towards getting passed. And then last night, there was a report that said, no vote until after the midterms. So... it will literally and figuratively be a political football. Like, it will be one yes. of those, like, do you want to save college sports? Then vote for Senator so-and-so. He yeah. believes the right way. Yeah.
So yeah, vote for Ken Paxton down in Texas.
Right. the AG at Texas.
The AG
yeah.
who is running for Senate. Vote for yeah. him if you want to pass this.
Yeah, that's yep. right. All right, I've got my U.S. soccer gear on today. The U.S. men's national team is playing at 3 p.m. against Australia. I'm going to give you an actual factual prediction on the game. And hopefully it goes better than the last time I did this, where I predicted that Spain would run over Cabo Verde. That did not go well. We'll talk about that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday to you. Right now, your roads are looking great. No crashes to report whatsoever around the city. If you're heading up towards Dublin and Hilliard, looking great. 270 northbound and 270 southbound. A similar situation in our southeast corner, just outside of Groveport. No issues in both directions of 270 out there. You are flying this morning. And for our friends in Delaware County, maybe taking 23 south between 36 to 270. It's about an 18-minute commute. I'm 10 TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.org.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect it to be partly cloudy skies to start the day with wake-up temperatures in the 50s. And then for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine with highs in the upper 70s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows down into the mid to upper 50s. And then mostly sunny with spotty showers and storms on Saturday. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
two men, one appendix. This is T-Bone and Tybus.
Welcome in. Happy Friday to you. Happy Juneteenth today. Big day, obviously.
Happy Juneteenth.
In our nation's history, of course. That's right. You don't know the history of Juneteenth, as I understand it. The history of that is that the Emancipation Proclamation happened. Abraham Lincoln signed that. And then a bunch of states said, yeah, right. And then they ignored it. And then eventually we had to send the military into those states to be like, hey, you can't ignore this. This is the law of the land. So today, this is the actual June 19th was the date where the final part of, like, I think it was Texas.
Yes.
Where they came and said, yeah, no more. Can you do any of the slavery? And so then that was the official end date of that.
I mean, think about how that execution, like, practically worked, though. You know, you sign this Emancipation Proclamation. There ain't news. There's no Twitter.
No, you can, like, flip on CNN at the muffler shop and be like, oh, I guess there's no slavery now.
Well,
like,
and the people that you're trying to emancipate, the information flows to the people who don't want to emancipate them.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, like the guy running the plantation may have heard it and been like, I'm not
listening to that. These guys don't have to know.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's exactly. Yeah, this is. So anyway, that's a history that I didn't learn growing up. But now it's cool that we actually celebrate stuff like that. So good. Happy Juneteenth to everybody. Also, happy Pride weekend for those of you in Columbus here, because this is when the Pride Festival is. Pride Parade is tomorrow. So shout out to everybody who's going to that. Cool events for our city.
Yeah, big weekend.
I love going out there. I'm an ally. I'm not in the community, but I'm supportive of the community.
I love that.
Yeah, just being a supporter. That's all I am. Supporter. That's supporter support. That's what Dom Taberi tells me when it comes to U.S. soccer. Supporters support. Huh. And that's what I'm doing today. I've got my U.S. soccer gear on. United States is going out there to face Australia. You know, their nickname is the Socceroos. Because they're, they're kangaroos in Australia.
Of course.
But that's by the way, the kangaroo thing always messed me up as a kid, because I always wondered why, like, with Noah's Ark, we never found kangaroos in, like, the Middle East and, like, everywhere else, only in Australia. And it only later, when I started going to, like, biology class, did I find out why that may have occurred. But anyway, neither here nor there. U.S. and Australia.
Imagine reading your Bible. It is like two kangaroos side by side.
Well, there may have been. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Were they on the ark? Maybe.
Well, I don't know. That's
you
what
guys
no,
tell
but,
me.
But the thing
this is what you grew up in.
I did grow up in that. And then one day Bill Nye told me that they've never found a fossil of kangaroos anywhere but Australia. And I was like, well, that kind of shoots a hole in that thing. I don't know if because I would think
Nye.
Of what well, no, he did. He was the guy that told me.
Opened I was your third eye.
Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill. Yeah, that was I used to watch that show all the time. Anyway, the Socceroos are going up against the United States. And the Australians are mad at the United States.
Oh, for
not forget all the reasons why any country would be mad at the United States geopolitically. No. I'm saying U.S. soccer, Australian soccer at odds right now, because the Australian soccer fans, they saw a guy by the name of Mike Grella. So Mike Grella used to play in MLS back in the day, and he's now like an analyst for just CBS Golazo.
What the hell is that?
It's a soccer specific show that also I think is like its own YouTube channel, and they have a bunch of like soccer content because CBS has a lot of the rights to Turner. Is it Paramount or Turner? I forget who owns what. Paramount has rights to a lot of like the European competitions.
That's
like
CBS.
Yeah. Champions League, all that stuff. So that's why they have this channel. Mike Grella was on there, former U.S. player who, when the announcement came down in December, they did a draw to determine what group the U.S. was going to be in, right? So they're drawing it. FIFA does this. It's a global broadcast. So they had a reaction show. And when the U.S. picked Australia, here, I have Mike Grella's reaction. When he found out the U.S. was getting Australia in the group.
It's Australia. The United States will play Australia in Seattle, boys. Grella, how's that?
Layup for the U.S. I mean, that's a great first draw. Listen, take nothing away from the Socceroos. They've always been competitive and good, but they stumbled a little bit through qualifying. Mm-hmm. They were not so impressive, and this is an amazing draw for the U.S.
There's nothing wrong with what he said, except for the fact that now all of Australia for the last 6 months has basically been like, Mike Grella can go to hell. I don't even know what accent that is. The point is, they don't like Mike Grella, who's like, he was just a guy,
right?
Like here, But I mean, he's a good analyst. Sure. I like his work, but this guy has become their number one villain in all of Australia, to the point that their players have literally said, can we please stop talking about this guy? I just want to play this game. Like, it's been the number one question the Australian players have been asked is like, can you believe the Americans called you a layup? And they're like, they're done with it. They just want to play the game now. But
does Bluey now hate Mike?
Bluey hates Mike Grella.
Grella.
By the way, Bluey, it's on site today. If I see you,
oh my
or
god,
Dingus or whatever.
Oh
what's
my
the name?
God,
Dingo. Yeah.
Oh my god,
it's on site today.
On site.
Sorry. Yeah.
Bingo is the name of the
Bingo,
sister,
not
by the
Dingo
way.
Or yes. Dingus. Why did I say
Dingus
that? Bingo.
Is good. I think
and
I like
have,
Dingus better.
Bandit and Chili are the parents.
All right.
Okay. Let's
you know
let's Chili, get it all
listen,
correct.
Chili. I'm gonna say, hear me out on Chili. I'm just gonna say, hear me out. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. It's a total joke. I'm actually going to say, hear me out.
I was wondering where you're going.
I'm going to say, hear me out. No, but like Australia is mad about the fact that U.S. soccer apparently is disrespecting them. Here's the reality. I'm going to give you a prediction on what's going to happen today. This is a little bit of soccer 101. Have you ever heard the term low block? Do you know what that means in soccer?
No.
Okay. Nah. It means essentially Australia is going to play a low block today. I would be shocked if they don't. What that means is they're going to put most of their players in the final defensive third of the field, and they're going to dare the U.S. to get the ball through all of that traffic, more or less. The non-technical term is, as you've pointed out, Dylan, parking the bus. That's
is that
what, they,
what the one team did to Spain the other day?
Yeah, Cabo Verde.
Yes.
That's what they played a low block, too. So the U.S. is going to have to do that, or the U.S. is going to have to go up against that. Now, Australia played Turkey, who's not a bad team, and beat them 2-0. You know how they did it? They let Turkey have 70% of the possession. They let Turkey shoot 30 shots, which is unheard of in soccer. That's a lot of possession and shots. And then they counterattacked. Whenever like Turkey got too greedy and too far forward, they'd shoot one of their guys out, big long ball over the top. He'd beat his guy. They'd go score. So that's what the U.S. has to watch out for today. However, I think the U.S. is better than Turkey. And I do think the U.S. national team is better than Australia. So I think it's going to be
a layup.
It's not a layup. It's not going to be a layup. Australia's going to be super motivated in this game. They already won a game. They can win the group if they beat the United States. And the United States knows they can win the group if they beat Australia, essentially. So this gives you better seeding in the next round. This gives you a chance to play maybe not as tough of an opponent. Gives you a better chance of advancing. So this game is huge for both teams. They both know the stakes. I think Australia is going to do this low block thing. But my prediction is the U.S. wins it, and I'm going to say they win it 1-0.
Now, so should we get out our DraftKings?
Yeah. You can do it. You do whatever you want.
They're pretty heavy favorites. I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze. Well, no, I think I saw them at like -160 or something like
that. Yeah. Here's what I would tell you is, if anything, if you are like a diehard fan and it's going to crush you if the U.S. ties or loses this game, then like I guess you could bet on Australia to win the game or tie the game. Like, you know, you could pick that. And then if that happens, anything other than a U.S. win, you get paid, which is not, I'm not,
I love that
like,
logic.
It's like hedging with you. You're hedging
oh
your
my
heart.
God.
Yeah. Where you're like,
oh
hedging my God. It's paying for a win. It's Rothman calls it that like the heart hedge or hedging your heart or something like that.
Oh my God.
I call it paying for a win, because if I said right now, like to win a game, my favorite team, if I put $20 down, they're going to win either because the only way I lose the money is if they win. And I would gladly part with $20 to see the U.S. win. If not, then my money comes back to me, yes, and then some. That's the logic I employ. So
what does a win, loss versus draw do for their chances? Do we know that yet? Or do we need other results to like really have that conversation?
Well, it'll depend, because then Turkey and Paraguay are going to play each other, I think.
When did
tonight or tomorrow?
Turkey thing.
I don't know.
Change.
I'm trying to, but like I said,
and what is it, like Chechia or whatever now?
Chechia instead of Czech Republic. Yes.
Sure. Like, when did all that happen?
I don't know. And I think it actually depends on, like, if you were in the Olympics, I don't know if that's Turkey probably is, but like Chechia and Czech Republic, I don't know if that's the same thing. I know, like,
no, it is.
I know, but I'm saying,
Olympics, like they were
in the Olympics, they call them Chechia too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Cause in the Olympics, sometimes they'll say Great Britain.
Right.
And it's different than like the great, like they're different international competitions have different versions of Great Britain, England, Scotland, etc. And
aren't
it's weird.
Great Britain and England also not the same thing?
Not the same thing.
Yeah.
But they will. Yes, that's exactly my point.
This is,
so,
see, I'm
very confusing.
this is where I feel like a dumb American.
Oh, I do
right.
All the
like
time.
This is something worldly that I probably should be a little bit more aware of. Yeah. And here I am, like, when did the whole turkey thing happen?
Yeah, right. And it's I don't know the answer on that. Other than maybe I'm going to guess the people of Turkey A were probably like, this is what we call our country. And then we probably at some point like, sounds like turkey. And then we just called it that. And gobble, gobble, y'all. And it's like, I don't know why George W. Bush was the one naming
gobble,
the country.
Gobble, gobble, y'all.
And then they were like, we actually don't have turkeys. They're not native to this country. And then we
can you
it.
Cut that into a drop?
Gobble, gobble, y'all. Are the Bengals, are they bordering on arrogance or are they just confident? Are they being cocky or are they for real? We'll talk about it in 2 minutes. You will hear from some Bengals next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Barely seeing any slowdowns on this Friday morning, especially for our Northside drivers. Just in case you're heading downtown right now, taking 315, about a 3 minute commute between 270 over towards Bethel Road. And for our friends traveling northbound, this is from 670 to 270. If you take 71 north, that's an 8 minute commute. 9 minutes, though, will take you if you're taking 315. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
com. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. When Tyvus looks at Bone, he sees the future. Bald, fat, white. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, so I did a quick Google search just to get to the bottom of this whole turkey-a thing.
Yeah, for those who haven't clocked this, like, Turkey the country, as always on every map I saw when I was a kid, is like spelled like turkey, like you have at Thanksgiving or on lunch meat. Now, when you go, like when you watch the World Cup, turkey is T-U-R-K-I-Y-E, I believe.
Yes.
Is how they're spelling that. And so even the announcers are like turkey A. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the first time I've really seen that or heard that or paid attention to that. But I presume it's just something of my own ignorance, right?
Right. Well, I think we can give ourselves a little bit of a pass here. As it says online, Turkey officially changed its English name to Turkey A in June 2022 after the government formally requested the United Nations and other international organizations to adopt the change. Now, the Turks have said Turkey A locally since 1923, but the government launched a global rebranding, which rebranding a nation's name is insane, but they launched a rebranding campaign to dissociate the country from the bird.
Mm.
Okay. They were tired of people thinking that they were Thanksgiving.
Back in the 20s, they were tired of this?
Well, no, in the 20s, they were living in their own world. I think in the, you know, June of 2022 region, they were like, man, this Thanksgiving thing is really taking off. We got to get away from that.
Yeah, it sounded like they were just letting the rest of the world know, Bone, that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, this is, no, this but is my saying, name.
Like, but in the 1920s, they were like, yeah, we're Turkey A, FYI.
And nobody listened to for 100 years.
Well, that's,
they basically were like, my name's not Josh, it's Joshua.
That's okay, exactly what they said.
Yeah. No,
and Tyler still calls me Josh.
I know he does. And I can respect the fact, like I've said, if you want to be called something like Cape Verde is what I would have thought that country. Sure. I've heard of Cape Verde, but then I'm watching the soccer and they say it's Cabo Verde.
That's right.
Okay. Then I call you Cabo Verde. I respect you want to be called that. I call you what you want to be called. That's
which
all
I didn't know Cape and Cabo were twins.
No, see, I didn't know either, but apparently does that mean all the Cabos? Like Cabo San Lucas? Is that Cape San Lucas? I don't know.
We should go down there and start saying that.
Let's do some on-site research of that. I totally agree. Totally agree with that.
That reminds me, I took my girl to Bojangles for the first time the other day, and before that, I was like, I think Popeyes is better than Bojangles, and then I started eating a Bojangles chicken sandwich, and I was like, I think I need to go to Popeyes tomorrow for scientific purposes so I can have both meals as close to each other as possible so it could be a fair comparison.
Well, you know what? This is something. This is bad on my part. It's been been 3 weeks of Joshua Perry being here, and I have not bought any breakfast for anyone.
You know what? Neither did Fish, and he said he would.
That's okay. I'm going to, that's not okay. On Fish. Well, that's not on Fish. Well, has had, no.
Can he's I, the may one. I,
no, no, no.
Fish is buying me breakfast today.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We're going to have a little date after this.
Oh, see, that's, yeah. I don't know about that.
Thanks, Fishy. Know about that.
If Fish buys Joshua breakfast and not me, Joshua could run the board on Monday. the people can get what they want of Joshua being the three-chair.
Go ahead. That's right. Yeah, you know what? You know what? Since we're not included in the fun club, apparently, Dylan, I'll buy breakfast for you. Joshua, you can enjoy your breakfast with fish.
Tyler's got on me yesterday when I went over to visit him because he's like, did you buy Dylan breakfast? And I was like, you know the answer to that already. I said before I went to do this, I wasn't going to do that. No offense to you, Dylan. And he's like, well, why haven't you done that? He's like, you're not a team player. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Tyvus, my guy.
Yeah. Tyvus does like to buy breakfast.
And he was worried about your hunger levels during this time.
Yeah. Let it be known that my weight has gone down since Tyvus has been gone.
Hey, let it be known that my weight has gone down since Tyvus has been gone, too.
See, there you go. Look at that. I'm excited to find out what Tyvus has. He put on weight, given that he's stressed now? He's got three kids. He's up all night. I don't know. Maybe he's late night snacking. We're going to find out. The Round Mound of Radio tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll see him out at the Fan 5K. By the way, if your air conditioner never seems to turn off, summer's getting warmer, it could be because your worn out windows are letting all the cold air out of your house, and that's not good, and you need to replace those windows. And you've talked about replacing them, and you're like, yeah, but it's expensive, and we want to go on vacation, and I don't want to take all the vacation money to go buy windows. Well, here's the deal. We've got a great option for you right now with Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. That is the sale going on right now. So that'll save you money in the long term, right? Not only with your windows costing less because buy four, get four free, but also because you'll save on your energy bills. But with Window Nation, you could also get zero down payment and no payments or interest for two whole years. So still take the vacation, still get that stuff done, and then you can pay on the windows with no interest, no payments for 2 years. I think that's the way to go. If you're trying to replace your windows, now's a great time to do it. And Window Nation is the right place to do it with. Every window gets that 50-point inspection before it leaves their factory, and their technicians will come and install those windows in a day for you. So it's minimal mess, minimal stress, and Window Nation will get the job done right the first time. Make sure all those windows are installed properly. Buy four windows, get four free sale now. Just go to windownation.com to schedule your free estimate. Once again, that's windownation.com. We heard some audio from Joe Burrow. This is him talking about the Bengals' opportunities this year. This is a little bit of what he had to say about he made a comparison for this year's Bengals that I thought was interesting. Dylan highlighted this. Let's play a little bit of it.
Put pressure on guys. I love it. I thrive in it. We'll find out who else does. I know that we have the kind of people that want to be in that spot. You know, I want everybody talking about the Bengals. I want everybody talking about what I'm saying in my press conferences. You know, you go back and watch what I said before 2019 season at LSU. You know, I feel very similarly about this team. You know, I'm so excited to get started and get moving. And I wish we would ramp this right into training camp so we can continue to improve. Because I feel like, you know, there's so much greatness that we're going to be able to achieve this year. I'm just excited to get going.
That's a pretty hefty comparison.
2019
LSU.
That's one of the greatest teams of all time.
That's a team that I think everyone can now look at and say that was almost an aberration in college football.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, we may never see a team with that level of assembled talent ever again.
They were so good. They had a guy who could not coach football coaching the team, and they still won a title.
What, he got fired 2 years later?
He is a bad coach, objectively.
Man, not a fan of the Raging Cajun?
Where has he won?
Well,
exactly.
He's
not a good ball coach.
Yeah, right. That's
and they still won the title. And by the way, a lot of those games weren't particularly close.
No, that was when Joe Burrow, he had his year at LSU, yes, where he was okay. Like, he was not bad. And there were, I feel like going into that season, there were questions about Ed Orgeron. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong? I feel like there might have been.
I feel like there are always questions
about
him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But then you have literally like his, Joe Burrow's running mate with Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase, was there on that team, mm-hmm, right? Like, the amount of talent they had assembled on that roster and then went out and in dominant fashion pretty much made everyone look miserable. Ed Orgeron's never done anything close to that since then. And in fact, obviously he's been out of football, not out of football, but like not in any big time roles.
Well, he's back in football now.
What is he doing now?
I think he's at LSU. and he is...
Oh, they brought him back. That's right.
Yeah, like a special assistant, and he works on recruiting.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fine. He can go in there and do all his like homespun Cajun stuff as Lane Kiffin is trying to hit on these players' moms. That's good.
I'm actually both going to be hitting on them.
Yes. It's all, it's yes, the all horny club all the
it's
time.
It's just super horny there. It's just, yeah.
Those guys are...
They're sharing tips, high trade secrets.
Oh, tips!
Sharing tips.
I share the tips.
Yikes! Hey, yo.
Supportive. That's good. Hey, whatever yo. You got
to
do.
There's another team that I want to compare this Bengals team to. Do you remember the 2011 Eagles Dream Team? That's who I want to compare them to. When in the offseason, Vince Young was like, "Oh yeah, we're a dream team."
I forgot all about that.
They signed Nnamdi Asomugha at corner. They brought in Steve Smith. And they thought they were going to do all these things, and they finished 8-8. That's what they did.
Well, that's look, I don't want to poo-poo that the Bengals, they have absolutely gone out and tried to do things to make this roster better. They have significantly, I think, improved their defensive line. Or at least they've taken a big swing at making it better. Have they not?
Yeah.
Offensive line, I think, is still going to be, it's better. It's gotten better over the years, but it's still going to be something that they have to continue to improve. The long-term strategy with the Bengals is if this defense is not any good, it doesn't matter how good your offense is. You can't keep winning or losing games 38-35.
Yes.
You don't need to put Joe Burrow in that situation because that's not his fault. And I do think that contributes to some of his injuries is that he is just doing everything he can to try to make this team better. But he does get injured a lot too.
He does.
So you need to keep him off the field and you need to allow your defense to go out there and get the job done. And when I say off the field, I mean, let him go out there and not have to be out there for four quarters every single game because right. you're in a dogfight.
And you need him to do something heroic in the fourth quarter. Yes. Yeah.
You need to not put stress there. So
I just wish they would stop talking and just do it. They haven't done anything since they made the Super Bowl. That was the 2021 season, folks.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to keep saying that though. Because time continues to pass and people keep acting like we're in that point in time.
Yeah, like it was yesterday.
It wasn't right. yesterday. That was a long time ago.
I mean, it'll be what, 5 years to your point?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It was the 2022 Super Bowl, okay, 2021 season.
So this
Tyvus wasn't even hosting radio yet. He wasn't a member of the media at the time.
Yeah.
Guys, that's a world away.
The Phoenix Suns made the finals that year. Do we talk about them still?
Good Lord. I forgot all about that.
Yikes.
Sheesh. Yeah, right. And that would not... That's, to your point, if they did nothing ever since, which they have, like, we don't look at the Suns and go, that's one of the powers in the NBA. Like... That's where the Bengals are right now is you have to show that this window exists because I think Joe Burrow, if they don't get the job done, he is going to push more and more to go somewhere where he thinks he can win. So this is a big year, obviously, for the Bengals. There's a new king of the restaurant industry. We'll tell you about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
As expected, we are seeing some delays out there in New Albany, 161 in that eastbound direction. Just as you're passing 62 and over by Beach Road, you're down to 32 miles per hour when it comes to your speeds. At least looking a lot better for our friends in southeast Columbus. If you live in Canal Winchester, leave now if you can. 33 looking great between Gender Road and 270. Only a 4-minute commute on this Friday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your...
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
If it's 4:30 in the morning and you see a ginger version of Dom DeLuise speeding down 33, don't panic. It's just T-Bone.
We are driving. We are driving.
We like driving. We like driving.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
We are eating.
We are eating.
We're going to be eating soon, Dylan. I didn't order the breakfast yet. I'm sorry, but soon enough, I will get our breakfast ordered and we'll figure it out. Where do we want to go? Bojangles?
We could go Bose.
What were you thinking? Because I don't know why.
I'm never against Bose.
Okay. What was the one you said you had to do research on? Bojangles versus Popeyes?
Yes.
But Popeyes doesn't do breakfast.
They don't.
Which so, is
that's a character
big,
flaw.
Big miss on their part. I mean, it's a little bit why, and I respect everyone's decision, do what you got to do. But if Chick-fil-A was open 7 days a week, they'd be up a little higher on my list. You know what I mean? As far as food goes. The fact that one day of the week, I just can't have them. It's nothing against them. I know why they do it. Let them live. They can have their principles.
They should just have like an opt-out option for their employees on Sundays.
Well, whatever.
If you want to come in and work on Sunday?
No, no, no.
Go ahead.
They do what they want to. They do what they want to do. Well, that'd be a problem. Could you imagine if it was like, all right, half their employees said, I'm not working on Sunday, and then they still were. If Chick-fil-A ever opens on Sundays, that's going to
look a fish.
Wait, what just happened?
He's heard the slander.
Just barged in and slammed a bag of food on Darren's desk. Hey. He did. He's slamming napkins. Can you slam a napkin? Because he's trying to.
It's a bag. It's a cow bag.
Oh, it's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
it's not Sunday, so it's open. See, there you go.
Thank you, boss.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
I did. I heard the crinkle. I did. That's right. Yeah. See, I got it. Now I'm going to have to go. Do you want something to drink? I can order drinks. You want mimosas, Dylan? What do you want? I'll order some mimosas. Do they do that? Mimosas to go.
Real quick. This is how I got a company email so I could log into these computers.
Yeah.
I just said on air, I don't have a company email, so I have to sit here with my laptop open. And in the middle of the show, Fish comes running in with the login.
Yeah.
That's got to speak stuff into existence.
That's exactly how you get it done around here.
Exactly right. Now, Fish, he listens. He is a boss.
Fish is great. I love Fish.
Yeah. On the air, off the air. I sometimes just yell things out of my sleep, and then Fish is next to my bed, and he's like, sorry, here you go. And I'm like, thank you, Fish. Thank you, Fish. I appreciate it. Dylan, you put this in front of me that apparently there's a new king of the restaurant industry, because there was a survey that's out there that says for years we're talking about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has, they've been like the big like favorite quick service restaurant is what they call it. Is that the same as fast food? I would assume Chick-fil-A is considered fast food, right?
I
think the quick service pulls in more than just like fast in, like, food feels like drive through.
Yes.
And then quick service is like walk in, but it's done immediately.
Yeah, it pulls in like Chipotle, Panera, Chick-fil-A, stuff of that nature.
All right. So apparently the number one rated fast service restaurant, quick service restaurant, now appears to be not Chick-fil-A, which had been the number one restaurant for that category in the U.S. in this survey that they do every single year for many years. Now they say Jersey Mike's number one.
I'm not hating on that.
I'm not either. I love a Jersey Mike's.
I do too, although I'm very cautious about Jersey Mike's now.
Why?
Because a little thing called private equity came into play a couple years ago with Jersey Mike's, and I've seen people who have tracked this where they went to Jersey Mike's like the day the company got sold to private equity. They got a sandwich. They took a picture of the cross section to show how much meat, how much cheese, how much lettuce, tomato, all the toppings. Right. They've gone back since in like a year or two later. And again, it's anecdotal. I don't know that it's factual. I still like going to Jersey Mike's. I still have good sandwiches when I go there. But I've seen people document how, like, over the years, the quantity of meat get
that's still
has started to go down. It's still good. It's still big. But hopefully that's the way it's going to continue to be, is what I'm saying. But
I just went to Jersey Mike's the other day and kind of had a bad experience, not because of Jersey Mike's, but because of another patron in there who decided to order for his whole family. Subs.
Stop.
And then he wanted to use some sort of discount, and you could only use like on two subs per transaction. So he proceeded to say, can I do three separate transactions so I can get my discount for all these subs?
I have two thoughts on this.
Go ahead.
All right. So what time of day was it?
Like prime dinner time.
Okay. So that's foul. I am one of those people where I have gone into a Chipotle, for example, and ordered like four or five things at once, but I will only do that if I know it's not going to be busy.
Yeah. Like if you go at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm sure that's not like a prime time. Yes. You could probably do it then.
Yes. Yeah. But anytime you're going to use some sort of coupon or discount, and you have that many items and they have to be split up, just do it in the app.
Dude,
like that's my biggest issue. Like, do that in the app.
Yeah.
Big order as well.
The big order,
if it's not busy, it is what is. Like, but I don't care.
Because my angle used to be when, like, a Chipotle is that type of place, Jersey Mike's is that type of place where they make the food right in front of you. And each one, I know that they do that behind the scenes at McDonald's, but they have someone sitting back there, and they're not going to like broadcast this at McDonald's or some of these other places, but like They're taking the burger, they're putting the cheese on it, they're putting all the toppings on it, they're throwing it down a little thing, and there's 10 of them sitting there.
Right.
And they're warming, and they're still good, but you may get a burger that was made 20 minutes ago, they'll throw it in the bag, makes it a little quicker. When they're making everything fresh to order with, you want it Mike's way or not Mike's way, all that stuff, I can't have you doing six of those, standing there eyeballing the person and saying it as they literally slice deli meat and cheese right in front of you before they even get the sandwich going. And you got to do that six times. You have to go app and you have to put that in for like future order. You can't even do that ASAP in my mind. You got to do a future app thing.
If it's not busy,
do a future
order thing. It's like six different people coming in. Like,
here's the thing. When he walked in, he was the first person. By the time he was done, there was 15 people in line.
That's the thing. It's not like six people coming in, because imagine if the six people coming in each had six separate orders like that guy did. Then
no,
suddenly,
it's like six people having one order.
I'm saying if I walk in, I see one guy ahead of me, I'm like, oh, this will be 5 minutes. Great.
That's on you for having expectations.
No. When the guy then is like, here's a half an hour worth of orders that I have to make. No, I'm just saying, put it in the app.
The other portion for me, and like I'm okay with this, is when I go into one of those restaurants, I like to see how they make the thing. You know, like Chipotle, you got some people that are, they skimp. Right. They don't do enough rice. They like to shake off the chicken when they scoop it. They want to skim the guac. I want to see that, because every time I order through the app, my bowl is light. My bowl is light.
I think you're using a little bit of what I'm going to call athlete privilege there.
Really?
You're a giant human, and some like, you know, poor little teenagers there, like at Chipotle, like,
they don't get hungry.
Yes, Mr. Joshua Perry, I'm sorry. Okay. That's enough chicken.
Right.
It's like, yeah, put more on it.
You're
like,
never bullied them into putting more chicken on there. Physical intimidation
standing there.
The last thing I want to see is when you scoop the chicken, you shake off the excess. No. Whatever you scooped, that's going in there.
So you say
put it in there.
So you say something.
I don't. I just look at them.
You intimidate them. That's my point.
I don't like.
You stand there.
I don't furl up my brow and have a snarl on my face. I just watch.
See, I look at them and they're like, why is this bald fat guy like looking at the food and touching his nipple while I'm making it? This is so bizarre. I don't like this. That's fine. More food stuff to come later in the show, but we're going to play a game next called How Old is a Famous NFL Player? We'll find out next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, a heads up for you here. We will be seeing a lot of construction happening this weekend. The biggest impact is over on the north side. We're talking about that 270 and 71 interchange. Two ramps will be closed for improvements out there. It's that 270 eastbound ramp to 71 northbound and that 270 eastbound ramp to 71 southbound out there. Be aware and be cautious of crew members that will be working out on the scene. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Grove City.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Guardians avoided a sweep in Milwaukee when they beat the Brewers 4-2 yesterday. The Guards will begin a series in Houston tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. The Cincinnati Reds had the day off yesterday. They'll be in New York this weekend for a three-game series with the Yankees. First pitch in the Bronx is scheduled for 7:05. Team USA will look to get their second win in pool play when they take on Australia in the World Cup. That one will get started at 3 o'clock. And Wyndham Clark is your leader at the U.S. Open. He currently enjoys a 3-stroke lead while he finishes his first round. Play was suspended before he could finish it yesterday due to darkness. This update is sponsored by RCD RV Supercenter. Visit them in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala or at rcdrv.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
I talked about this the other day, and I continue to, I think, feel more and more vindicated about it. Are you following the saga of Freddie LA7? Freddie LA7 is the German soccer fan who is in the U.S. for the World Cup. Okay? And Freddie has been getting, like, he's been tweeting about his experience. He's the guy who went to Waffle House for the first time and loved it, you know, and then he went to like a Buc-ee's for the first time, loved it. And he's been documenting his experiences. He's kind of an interesting, I mean, I don't know who he is. Like, because when he tweets out anything that involves his photo, he has something blurring out his face or his buddy's face as they're all traveling the country. But apparently they're from Germany. He's a big Cristiano Ronaldo fan. So they've been going to like German games and then Portugal games following Cristiano Ronaldo. But in either case, they're making their way through. They were in the Southeast. Now they're making their way through, like they went through Texas. Now I think they're headed through Oklahoma. So they stopped in Oklahoma City the other night, and apparently they got to their hotel room, and waiting for them was Ella Langley, who's a country music artist. Like, she sent them all custom boots that were made for their size, custom cowboy hats, a bunch of like merch, and of course,
you
like
know
tickets.
That stuff's not cheap.
No. And then tickets to the show. I guess they were going, they got tickets to go to a show of hers because they listened to her music and they like her music. Well, they said as they were sitting there, Oklahoma City Thunder dropped off like a care package at their hotel room. Mm. Just knew who they were. They pulled into Oklahoma City. They have pictures of this. Billboards were up welcoming Freddie to Oklahoma City. Like,
all right. Now, the billboards.
Come on.
Like, the billboards were getting a little carried away.
You can call it jealousy. You can say that I'm being pedantic. But I do feel like I'm glad that this dude's getting welcomed to the U.S., but I'm starting to wonder, like, the guy doesn't show who his face is, which I get. You're becoming like an international celebrity. You don't want people like coming up to you. Fine. But this man literally got to tour the spacecraft that went around the moon a couple months ago. You know, the one that like was the center of the news, and like we hadn't done something like this in a very long time. The huge mission for NASA. He got to go to NASA and not only get in the landing or that capsule that they were in. They then got to talk to all the astronauts that are up at the International Space Station. Like, we're not getting now, like, oh, hey, cool, you can get, you know, a little, we'll upgrade your seats or something. Like, this is a little bit much. Is it not for one? Like, I'm just saying, there's other tourists who are here. Do that for one
right,
of them. Like, it's like
viral,
everyone's trying to get
the
on.
Viral tourists.
Yes.
And that is, so this is, I think, more of an experiment in how modern PR and marketing works, right? Because if these were celebrities from overseas, for example, or if these were people that they had paid originally to do these things, we wouldn't think of this as like exciting and authentic and fun. We would be like, no, you guys are forcing this. But this started off as a very organic thing that now has taken on a life of its own and starting to get annoying. But a lot of people are like, oh no, this is the best PR that we could get. And all it costs us is maybe a hotel room upgrade and a tour through whatever.
Yes.
And that's where they've gone too far. But
no,
certainly.
I want to be clear. I don't blame him or his friends at all for this. They are, like, if anything, what's happened is they've become like a part of the media machine, the marketing machine. That's what the United States, that's our number one export is marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think as much as anything else, we market better than anyone in the world. But like, that's what I'm saying is now he's literally saying, I don't know how I'm going to get all this stuff home. Like, can't drive home. Like, he's going to have to ship it. He's going to have to buy it.
Somebody will pay for that.
Well, someone will pay for it. He apparently also got like new luggage because he was talking about how, I don't know if I can fit all this stuff in. So someone else gave him like custom luggage to put
more
of the stuff in.
You're not going to have to pay for any of that.
Man. Yeah. I mean, good for this guy. I want to be clear. I'm not mad at him. I'm kind of over the fact that now every company in America is like, we got to give this guy, he's our new spokesman. Like, we have to do this because it's bad on this front because now we're not spreading that love around, but also there's going to be a million people that are going to try to do this for every major international thing. Do you know how many grifters are going to do this for the Olympics?
Oh, I would do it. I would pretend to be foreign.
Well, I wonder that too. Like,
I'll wear a costume and makeup just in case anybody, because my company is going to be broadcasting it.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Just in case anybody's like, no, we know him, don't put him on TV. Right? Like, I would do that in a heartbeat.
You should pretend to be British and just carry around cheese and onion sandwiches
or a can of like terrible beans and just walking around and just like, hello, is it Tuesday?
Is it Tuesday, love?
By the way, the Ella Langley thing kind of made sense because he, like, her song, Choosing Texas, is probably like the biggest country song in the nation right now.
And oh, is it really? I have no idea who she is.
He used it during like one of his like viral videos, and then like one of the UK broadcasters like quoted her song. So there's kind of a tie between her and him and the World Cup that she was able to like give him some stuff. But all the other stuff, I agree. It's not organic at all. Like Joshua said, this is just like modern PR, that it's like, who's the hot quote unquote influencer right now, and how can we use them to help our cause?
See, this is influencer culture. Here's the conspiracy theory that I don't want to entertain, but I have to at least acknowledge
okay, here we go.
No, it's that, like, how do we know this isn't some marketing firm that was like, hey, you know how all of you are trying to like get your products out there and you want to do it organically? We're gonna send like three college kids from, we're gonna hire like three German kids to come over here, like college students. So we're gonna like give them a car. We're not gonna show their faces, but they're gonna like, they're social media influencers. They know what they're doing. And we're gonna like set up this account, make this a thing, and then we're gonna like send them on their way. And all that, like, it's all like, that's the conspiracy theory my brain wants to put together, is that like this has all been planned, all this stuff. Like Ella Langley's people a month ago were like, all right, do we have the stuff for Freddie? Is he good to go? Is the billboard going up in Oklahoma City, right? That's where they're doing it. Like, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe it's organic, but I'm cynical enough now because I've seen too much of this. I grew up watching WWE.
Okay, so
there's always an angle, is my point.
So I can get there only because I believe that a lot of people that are famous right now were planted.
Oh.
Like, I'm one of those guys.
Now that's a theory, too.
Industry plant stuff. Yes, yeah, of course. I'm one of those guys where it's like the industry created this person purposefully and specifically for whatever the deal was, but made us think that they just like appeared out of nowhere. And so I can understand where you're at with this idea of like, this is a very elaborate PR and marketing scheme, but I would like to believe that somebody, which a lot of people have had this experience, came over and had some fun tweets and was like, oh my God, America's different than I thought. And we were all so excited that the companies got excited.
I hope that's what happened. And I do hope it can, like, for this guy, I hope it continues. I hope he gets to have a great time. I'm just saying, like, there's a part of me that's just slightly suspicious now. That's all. Slightly suspicious.
Coach Beard in the chat said, is JP an industry plant on this show?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah, no one looks at me and says industry plan, because they would have found somebody much more handsome and talented. So that's what I know, is that with me, they're like, no, that guy, he has to be real, because who would pick that guy? So apparently Sauce Gardner's not the age that everybody thought he was. Colts corner, former Jets corner, obviously there's a big move for him. But apparently every site from Pro Football Reference to ESPN to The Athletic lists Gardner's birthday as August 31st, 2000. This came up to him the other day. That would make him, by the way, 25 years old, almost, you know, 26 years old. He says, no, I'm not 25. I'm only 24. He said, it's crazy that I'm even being asked this. Apparently, people then looked and saw, like, on Madden, it says he's 25. And he goes, it's wrong on Madden, too? That's crazy, because I never checked, because when it comes to the paperwork and everything I've signed, it all says my birthday's in 01. That's when he was actually born, not 2000. So he is 24 years old, not 25. Apparently the NFL knew this, but somehow it never got correctly identified to all of the...
How does that happen, though?
I don't know. Play the music, Dylan. Conspiracy theory. This is a work to get it. I don't know. Another year? I don't know. I don't know what the angle is, why you would do it, but it's... Right, because when you fill out... I mean, you went through this process. Yeah. You fill out paperwork with the NFLPA, and then they take all your info and shoot it out to... everywhere. Brother, they create your profile.
They probably had the CIA and the FBI like getting copies of my birth certificate.
Yeah, right. Like, there's a vetting process.
Yes, I don't know how this happens.
It's amazing to me.
And then people ask them questions about it.
Well, like, I've always found it odd when a player comes up and it's like year three that they're out of school and they're like, hey, actually, you know, everyone's called me, you know, Bill, but my real name has been Jeff, and I just went with Bill because whatever. And you're like, why does that happen? You know, and then you find out the backstory. There's some reasoning behind it, whatever. But like this one, it's an eight. It's just literally, what age are you? He wrote it down and he says he wrote it down correctly.
Do you remember the like the Josh Simmons, Jimmy Simmons thing that went on for a while?
Yeah.
And people were like, wait, is that his name? And like everybody was confused that he's finally like, no, they just called me that. But like, my name is really Josh.
Well, who did we have here that had that? Why am I blanking on defensive end who like killed Penn State with like a tremendous game, who went with like
JTT?
Yeah.
Yeah, JTT, but like yeah. J that wasn't his, like, his name was not actually, like, JT. It was just, those were his initials,
right?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Jalen.
Yeah, right, but everybody, like, everybody doubled up his name. It was like ATM Machine is what they essentially did with his name. Because Paul would say it right on the broadcast all the time, and I remember he was, like, the only one who would do that. All right, America may have accidentally given our opponents some bulletin board material, plus an update on the big star for the U.S. Is he going to play today? All that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good Friday morning to you. Right now, if you're heading downtown, especially from the south and southwest side, a heads up, we are seeing a crash affecting that 71 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound. Definitely expect some lane restrictions out there, folks, and some slower drive times. Already down to 6 miles per hour for your speed delays as far back now as 71 over by Frank Road. If you can, take 23 and even 62 to head around this traffic and head and continue downtown. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect it to be partly cloudy skies to start the day with wake-up temperatures in the 50s, and then for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine with highs in the upper 70s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows down into the mid to upper 50s, and then mostly sunny with spotty showers and storms on Saturday. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
1, 2, 3! Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program at Bone and Tyvus 971. This is the final Joshua Perry show that is on the schedule for the foreseeable future because Joshua has been filling in for the last 3 weeks for Tyvus.
Final with you guys. I got some other shows on the schedule next week.
Fair enough. Right. You're going to be back on the radio station. You'll be around all summer, I'm sure, because of people taking vacation and all that. But Joshua, with us, this 3 week residency comes to an end today.
I may never fill in on this show again.
Oh, Tyvus,
may never take another day off in his life.
Well, see, this is why I got to get either you or him. Someone needs to learn how to do this chair so that when I leave, if I'm off, you can just come in and fill in, and then he can sit over here and hit all his favorite buttons.
I'm wet. I'm dirty.
The only one he'll play. Or you can, or someone can, and then you guys can just do the show together, which will probably just devolve into like body shaming, I think, for most of the show.
Yes. It would be. What are they used to call it back in the day? Playing the dozens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we would do.
Yeah, there you go.
The whole time.
We talk about speaking things into existence. Mm. I mean, I've done some one chair on the weekends. I could play point guard over here.
There you go.
Those two could sit
in
that studio and boom.
Actually, yeah, Dylan.
Just let them do their thing. You could sit over here and they can knock it down.
You and Ty, or you could do one chair and then we could get a producer to come in here. Like Baker does that sometimes with Fishman Friends, where Baker's a host and then, you know, they have someone come in and be the producer when Baker's over here sitting in our studio. So, see, that could happen too. Yeah, we got options is the point. I love all the guys who fill in too, but Joshua being one of the guys who's now like a part of the show every week, we have him on a segment. He's filled in for 3 weeks here for Tyvus. I think you've earned the right to, when you want to come on, you're on. You're part of the show. It's good.
Thank you.
I want to do a show with the two of them so I could bang my head against the wall with their food and goat takes.
Oh, man. That would be so good.
I'd be just as concussed as you are by the end of the show.
That is good.
That's exactly right.
Good job out of you, sir.
Exactly right. So, couple things. We are going to talk to Tyvus coming up next segment. He's going to join us on the phone. So we'll see how he's doing.
We better also make sure we get out of this break early before he bitches and moans.
Oh, I know.
Don't worry. A segment short.
Oh, God. Don't worry. I may go longer just to screw with him. He's going to get 3 hours on Monday. He can deal if he gets a minute shorter. But no, this is a little bit of a worrying thing if you're a U.S. soccer fan or if you're just planning on watching the U.S. team today. They're playing Australia, the Socceroos. It is a big game for the U.S. Their World Cup games are all big, but this one, if they can win this game after they already beat Paraguay, that would mean that the U.S. will probably win the group if they win this game. It'd be massive. A tie or a loss doesn't eliminate them or anything like that, but it makes their pathway slightly more difficult. So U.S. needs to get that done. One of the guys who was a big part of what happened in the first half of that U.S. game against Paraguay was Christian Pulisic. He has been the promised one for U.S. soccer. Are you, Joshua, I know you're not a huge soccer fan, but had you heard the name Christian Pulisic ever in your life? Okay.
Yes.
So you're aware of who he is. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got that level of crossover appeal to, like, non-soccer right. fans. We're like, oh, if I'm going to name a soccer player in America,
yeah.
that's probably the guy you know. Well, he suffered an injury in that game. After the game, everyone said, don't even worry about it. It's totally fine. You guys are being lame. You need to calm down. He's fine. All week long, he's been training with like the training staff, not with the team. He's been running around on his own, not taking part in drills. So now Mauricio Pochettino, who is the head coach of the U.S. national team, he said this about Christian Pulisic.
We'll see. I think at the moment we see if he's not available for tomorrow, will be available for the next game. But I think he's doing a massive effort trying to be ready. When this type of thing happens, always is painful, but I think Christian is strong and with great mentality and is doing a fantastic effort to try to be ready as soon as possible.
Okay. So this has gone from don't even worry about this to we'll see if he's ready for tomorrow.
Making a strong effort.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that would worry me. However, here's what I've chosen to tell myself as a U.S. soccer fan. I'm choosing to believe yet another conspiracy theory. Apparently, I'm Mr. Conspiracy Theory today.
We're getting a lot of them.
Well, because Mauricio Pochettino, he's coached some big-time clubs in Europe. He's not new to this. He's done this. He coached at Tottenham. He coached at PSG, Paris Saint-Germain. Mm-hmm. So he's been there, done that. I contend that what this is a giant smokescreen. They are doing this on purpose. They have him when the media's around. They have him running around with the training staff. This is like old hat in Europe. They do this stuff all the time where they like, oh, I don't even know. He barely, his leg barely even works. And then the game happens and he runs out there and he runs a full 90 and looks great.
Like his leg barely even works. Yeah. Is crazy.
Oh, yeah. The physios. That's what in Britain they'll say. We talked with the physios. Mm-hmm. That's their word for trainer.
I think I like that better.
Physio is a great word.
I agree.
I'm not saying every British thing they do is good, like, but physio's great. I'm a big fan of that.
I have an ignorant soccer fan, I guess, question.
Please ask away. That is, by the way, send those to us at Bone and Tyvus 971. If today you're like, I'm in on the U.S., I need to know stuff, I'll do my best to answer, but Dylan, go ahead.
So what's the coach's name again?
Mauricio Pochettino.
Why don't the, because I know this is like nowhere near the first non-American coach to coach Team USA.
That's right.
Why don't they have the same rules for the coaches as they do players when it comes to like national team eligibility? Like you had to have been born here or your parent has to have been born here or you've had to live here for X amount of years. Why do they just let anyone coach any country that they want to coach?
The answer is because that's the way it's been. I don't actually know the answer on why it's different for coaches versus players, but I would guess it's similar to like, you know, if you're a coach of any other sport, you don't necessarily have to adhere to all the rules that the players do, right? You just, like, I don't know, do coaches get drug tested in the NFL? Like,
Remember that Dolphins assistant coach who was ripping lines in his office?
Oh, that's right.
That answers your question.
Yeah, like, okay. So my, the only reason we found out about that because it got, like, on video.
Yeah, he sent it to the stripper or whatever, and then she turned it in.
I forgot about that story. That was great. Good for you. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is like, I think there's just different rules because they know these coaches, especially in soccer, are just like, oh, this guy sucked for 6 weeks. Well, get rid of him. Get someone who these players like.
That is wild to me.
It's so, dude, there was a guy in Europe a few years ago with a team called Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
Leicester City had never won anything.
Has like 28 letters.
It looks like Leicester.
Yes,
but it's Leicester is how they say it. Leicester City. They had never won anything. They went and won the Premier League as a 5,000-1 odds.
Oh, wow.
Like, underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Premier League is typically won by a handful of teams. Right. There's, like, the opposite of parity is what the Premier League is, right? This team started off the season as a 5,000-1 underdog. Like, the Browns are 150-1 to win the Super Bowl, or 200-1, even in their worst years. 5,000-1. They went on an improbable run. They won the Premier League. And you have to do that by beating every team home and away. There's no playoffs. There's no magical. They got hot for 2 weeks. Like, they had to go beat everyone at home and away. You play everyone home and away, and that's your schedule.
Right.
He then, the next year, they faltered, and I think it was January, February, fired his ass. Like, they built a statue to this guy as a manager, but he got fired
The
next year.
That's
how this, I believe his name was Claudio Ranieri, if I'm not mistaken. I could have that wrong.
But he is so funny.
And that was like, it was so, I mean, because it fell off quickly, but They were like, we're champions now, dude. We can't have this. So he's like, yes, who made you a champion? Me. No, it didn't matter.
Is he the Ed Orgeron of the Premier League?
Wow. Yes. Yes. Has a goofy accent and is horny. Perpetually horny. That is exactly who he is.
Tell him about it, JoJo.
There you go. Yeah. So anyway, U.S. today, 3 o'clock, Australia. My official prediction is 1-0 U.S. I don't think it'll be a big blowout like it was. Australia's going to pack the box, try to dare the U.S. to score. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm cautiously optimistic the U.S. will go up and get 2 wins here for their first 2 games, and that'll put them in a great spot going forward.
I hope when the crew does their official watch party at the Commons that Bluey and her whole family is there.
Yeah, make them watch. That'll make them watch the U.S. hopefully win. Yeah. That'll be good. All right, Tyvus is going to join us via phone coming up in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
For the most part, the roads are looking pretty easy on this Friday. A live look at that 670 and 70 split just south of Grandview Heights. No issues to report there. Also not seeing any delays for our friends in Reynoldsburg over on the east side. Usually we do see it around this time, but 70 westbound, especially over by Bryce Road, looking nice and simple out there. Lastly, for our friends in Madison County, a little bit slower on 40 east, about a 19-minute commute between 42 to 270. Definitely take 70 east if you're one ahead towards the city. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
clients. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
And America.
I hate it, hate, hate. Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Well, this stinger may actually be correct at this point, because joining us now on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, he is Tyvus Powell. Tyvus, how are you, buddy?
You know what? I woke up this morning. You remember how Muhammad Ali will go around and say he's the greatest of all time? I felt like that this morning, you know? When Jesse Owens went and won the Olympics and did his thing, he must have woke up feeling like, you know what, I'm about to roll this. That's exactly how I feel right now. Hmm. I'm in the prime of my life, T-Bone.
The greatest at what, taking time off?
He's Mr. PTO.
Is that what that is? Is that what you meant?
I need to say this. PTO is something that is extremely overrated. Let me understand this, okay? When I say PTO is overrated, this is only for people who love what they do, okay? If you got a job and you hate it, you know, and it's not something that you always dreamed of doing, this does not apply to you. But for somebody that actually enjoys going into work, PTO is overrated. It really is. And first of all, I'm not on PTO. I'm on leave.
Right. Uh-huh.
Totally different things. But this is overrated. You know, you know how people say you're supposed to feel refreshed? That's a lie.
I don't think anybody's saying that you should feel refreshed coming off of paternity leave. Like, you're changing poop diapers at 4 a.m. So I totally get that. But I'll push back on the idea that PTO is only for people who don't like their job. Sometimes you just got to get out of town, get a little bit of intimate family time, do those things that help recharge your life, not your battery to go to work, but just recharge your life, Tyvus.
Well, what recharges my life is being on the microphone and talking. That's like, it's like therapeutic for me, you know, like, You know what I did these 3 weeks? I did something that I usually don't have the time or the money to do. You know what that was? I thought about how I felt.
Look at you. That's right. You had some time off to get with your own feelings and emotions.
He said the time or the money to think about.
What does the second part of that have to do with anything?
When you get this much time off, you think too much. Man, that's no good.
Well, see, Tyvus, that's because usually you fill your time off with like an Xbox or a PS5 or whatever, and you're like going up against kids who are then you're threatening to fight them in the streets. Like this, maybe if you did turn off the turn off the 2K.
Dylan do that.
Who was Tyvus fighting in the streets?
No, Dylan actually did say he gave his address to someone once on a game when they were getting into an argument. So yeah, that was technically Dylan.
I was the opposite. I told them to drop their location. And I didn't do it over the game. That wasn't over the game. That was over a Twitter beef.
That was
a Twitter beef where I was like, hold on, first of all, I'm not about to do all this texting and typing back and forth. Drop me your location. Let's just go ahead and handle it that way.
Didn't you also, was that a time where you were arguing with someone online? Was it on a video game chat where you were like, they were like, what would you know about the game anyway? And like, funny you ask, I may have played. They're like, oh yeah, who are you? And then they Googled you and said, oh, I'm sorry, I respect what you did. That's good.
Yeah, that definitely happened. Yeah, these people on the game, they think they just know everything. And it's just like, nah, some people just get on just to have fun. So it is what it is.
All right, Ty. So this is technically your last day of leave because tomorrow you are going to be out at the Fan 5K and you are going to be running a 40. Other people can try to beat your time. So while I was over visiting with you and your wonderful, beautiful, expanded family yesterday, we were talking about your preparation and your training. And so I've got a little bit of a two-parter here. Is number one, can you recount what my son told you when you asked him if he thought you would run a 4.4? Do you remember what he said to you?
No way, Jose.
He said, no way, Jose, to his favorite Uncle Ty. All right. Second question for you.
He doesn't know yet. He's not familiar with my game.
Yeah, I think he knows. He's been here before. Second question, though. In your training, how have things gone? What is the fastest speed you've run? And how do you feel about your potential performance here?
Well, training has been going well. You know, I sprinted? No, I have not. I have not sprinted now. Oh, one time.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't, that's, you know, you when you do that, you only need, first of all, listen, okay? I went back and I watched my tapes, right?
Okay,
and
good.
And I'm getting my experience off of osmosis. You know, you just sit there and I watch.
Isn't that the guy that runs Health and Human Services now? Dr. Osmosis? Is that his name? I can't remember his name.
That's good,
so
good call.
And I just remember the feeling. It's all about feeling, right? And you got to remember this. Deion Sanders said something very interesting. Says when you're running, you got to take off like you're trying to chase somebody that just took your mother's purse, right? Mm. So that's my thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put that hand down and I'm going to take off. You know, it's all about the start. And the start, so that I might go dibble and dabble with it today. You know, I might go out and say, now I need to know, am I doing this on the track or am I doing this on the field?
I think you're doing it on the field. That's where the 40 yards are.
So, get your cleats.
So I need to bring my cleats.
Okay, bring them. Yeah.
That's perfect. That's something that I've been sitting there trying to figure out. Am I doing this on the field? But anyways, I feel good about it. I really do. I told Josh yesterday, I might have over-exaggerated a little bit on the 4.46.
That right?
I might have I am now saying today, I will run 4.47. 4.46.
Okay. All right. This is good.
4.47.
You heard it here.
Definitely doable. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. Okay. So if anybody that's planning to go out there and run, if you ain't running 4.4, don't even put your hand down because it's a waste of your time. You're going to embarrass yourself.
971therace.com to do that, to get registered. If you want to join us tomorrow out at Otterbein, starting at 8 a.m. is when all the races will start. So you'll have to get there before that, but should be a nice day for it. Tyvus, I'd be remiss if we didn't ask you, like, how is young baby Tsunami doing? How is he getting along these days? Your son, Trace.
I don't know. I went to go get some milk at the store, and I never came home.
Oh, my God, Tyvus. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh. Tyvus Powell is, unfortunately, out of the game of parenthood due to having a tiny ween, and he will never be seen again. He abandoned his family. We'll be back after these commercial break. Yeah, that's... That's the ultimate injury timeout, my friend, right there. It's like, it's killing me. Where did your dad go? He went to commercial and never came back. Yeah, that's not good, man.
Oh, Lord.
He is doing well. He's doing really well. All he does is eat and poop.
Yesterday, you work with a guy like that, Tyvus. 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. That's pretty much my MO, too. Well, so it'll be good to see you Monday.
I was telling Josh yesterday how Lauren is the only one that got peed on. Well, I gave him a bath yesterday, and I'm showing Lauren something on my phone, and she says, "Oh my God, Tyvus, he's peeing on your shirt." So he peed on my shirt yesterday.
There you
and
go.
I was like, "Wow, there it is."
So it happened.
Yeah. So there you go. See, yeah. So you've crossed that milestone.
I literally just was telling Josh, like, "Yeah, he don't pee on me," but like, if I was paying attention to what I was doing, I would have never been peed on.
Yeah. That's
Tyvus said that he caught the first one. The Trey started peeing and he just put up the burp rag.
Oh yeah.
And blocked.
Yeah, sure. That's a good defense.
Cat-like reflexes
right
allegedly.
Yeah. Well, when you put him in the warm bath water, isn't that what they say? The babies, when they get warm, that's like what they do.
What the thing was, this was at the end of it. You know, he was in it for like, I don't know, 8 minutes or so. And yeah, I was showing Lauren something on my phone. I was like showing it to her. And I was laughing at it. The next thing I know, she's like, "He's peeing on you." And I'm like, "Oh, well, dang. Oh, well."
Well.
No pajama shirt tonight. I'll be shirtless tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's
good. It shows off my Greek god body. You know, Laura looked at me and was
Dylan, just cut the phones. Cut the phones. Dylan, cut the phones.
Shout out to Tri-State men.
This is not about Tri-State men's health. This is about you.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Tomorrow, Tyvus, here's what's going to happen. We're going to see you out at the Fan 5K. Monday when you come in, Fish will be there with HR. Joshua will be here Monday morning as well. So you'll come in. I think you go right to his office and then just keep the car running is all I would say. And then, but Monday morning, we'll see how this goes for you when you come back. All right.
I don't know how Wally Pipp feels.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow, buddy. Glad you're coming back Monday. It'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to all that. And try and get some sleep, man.
What is that? That's for the week.
That's the right mentality to have because Baby Tsunami's running that schedule for you right now.
Anybody that's out here that's planning on running a 40, you better come with it tomorrow. You better come with it. That's all I'm going to say. They don't giving out stickers for people that I beat. Tell Scotty Vegas to bring a whole bunch of them.
Bring a truckload.
I ain't losing.
There you go. All right. Tyvus Powell back on Monday. See you tomorrow at the 971, The Race, the Fan 5K. We will hit a game show coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Got some breaking news out on the roads right now. Over by Marysville, US 36 is closed in both directions after a crash just passing Mackin Road and near the 33 area. Keep that in mind and definitely use those side roads to get around all of this mess. At least some better news for our friends on the north side of Columbus. We're talking Powell, Worthington, even parts of Westergo. No issues. 270, 23, and even 315 as you're heading downtown. Lastly, for our friends in Delaware County, still looking great on 71 southbound. Only a 9-minute commute between 36 to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Your home for football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, game show coming up in a second, but I want to address this. There's been some talk Australia, their fans are very mad at the United States when it comes to soccer because of the fact that one of the analysts for CBS Sports back in December, when he found out the U.S. was going to get Australia, called them a layup. Said, oh, this is a good draw for the U.S. That's a layup. I'm going to tell you right now, United States of America, he wasn't wrong.
Y'all get ready for some basketball. Shoot some layups.
Yeah.
Shoot some layups.
Layups. That's what we got today. U.S. are going to beat Australia by the rousing score of 1-0. Okay. My prediction.
All right.
Now, Joshua, I put up a poll. It's not the fan poll. I want to be clear. The fan poll is a separate thing. But today on our Twitter, at Bone and Tyvus 971, I put up a little poll that says, what are you going to watch today at 3 p.m.? This is in honor of you, who has said you have watched zero soccer during the World Cup. And I asked if you would be watching today at 3 p.m., and your answer was you were going to be watching what?
Bar Rescue.
Okay. So today I asked on our T-Bone and Tyvus Twitter handle, you have to watch one or the other. Which one are you watching? U.S. versus Australia World Cup game or Bar Rescue? 70.4% of you saying U.S. men's national team. Going to watch that.
How many people voted on this thing?
So far, 27.
That is not statistically significant.
No, it's huge.
It's not.
It was all the right 27 people. We did a good sampling of
mean nothing.
It's very scientific.
Well, I'm on secret option C. I actually scheduled a haircut for exactly 3 p.m. today.
What the hell is wrong with you, Dylan? Why?
Where do you get your haircut?
Scheduling haircuts?
Will there be a TV in there?
There will not be a TV.
What are we doing? What kind of barbershop you go to where, one, you have to schedule, and two, you have to get, what is this, a salon?
It's more like a salon than
you walk into the barbershop, and they're like, you're fifth in line, and you sit there with a magazine
from
12 years ago. That's what you do. You go to the barbershop. Come on.
Yeah, you go to a barbershop, but you definitely schedule. If you want to sit in a barbershop for 8 hours and wait as the fifth in line because everybody's talking, and now we got Nick's conversation and people are talking about Wemby, and then the one guy who thinks that he knows everything about soccer is trying to run the conversation. It's a long day if you don't have an appointment.
Okay, but I'm saying Dylan has nothing to do. So, like,
I got
to
get my hair cut. That's what do.
You go in there and you get some conversation. You talk to real people about real things.
Could get me in. That was it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying that if you go to a real barbershop, they'd have the World Cup on, and they'd be going like, what the hell is this soccer thing anyway? Are we good? And then you wouldn't know. You wouldn't get any answers. All right, it's game show time. Dylan, what is the game show today?
All right, so because we're giving away tickets to the Barrett Jackson car show.
Yes, we have a family five-pack of tickets to the Barrett Jackson auto auction at the Ohio State Fairgrounds, June 25th through the 27th.
So we probably should have got a caller, but
don't worry about that. We'll give away the tickets at the end of the game. How about that? A random caller. That's what we're going to do.
Sounds good. Perfect. So these are all going to be for Joshua.
Okay.
You will be the lifeline, and they're all car related.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm not playing. I can just, what do I do?
How many lifelines do I get?
You will know the answer to all of these, so you can tell Joshua if he's right or wrong. How about that? I'll ask the question.
Well, then how's he ever going to lose?
I'll ask the question. He'll give his guess, and then you'll tell him if he's right or wrong.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. I got you.
Are we ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This Hall of Fame coach founded a stock car racing organization in 1992. His team has won 5 NASCAR Cup Series championships. Is the coach A, Bill Parcells, B, Joe Gibbs, or C, Jimmy Johnson?
All right. This is something I feel like I would have tangentially heard, but I'm not quite sure. I feel like it is B, so I'm going to lock that one.
That would be Joe Gibbs?
Yes.
That's called JGR.
There we go.
For NASCAR fans, Joe Gibbs Racing.
There we go.
That is among other luminaries who drove for Joe Gibbs Racing. May he rest in peace. Kyle Busch, who recently passed away. But Kyle Busch, legend, drove for JGR among many other great drivers. But yeah, there you go. You get one for one. Good job.
All right, this venue hosted the MLB Speedway Classic between the Atlanta Braves and Cincinnati Reds. They also hosted a Virginia Tech Tennessee game, transforming a NASCAR venue into a baseball diamond and college football field. What is the venue? Is it the Daytona International Speedway, Talladega Super Speedway, or Bristol Motor Speedway?
Bristol Motor Speedway.
Bang. Bang. That's right.
Bang.
Yeah. This guy knows his car stuff.
You ever been to Bristol?
No.
I'll tell you what.
Good time?
It was for me.
Okay.
I can't say I can recommend it for everyone.
No, I think that's fair.
It was okay for me.
I think that's fair.
That track is like 140,000 seats.
Yeah.
around a half mile. There's no... The stands are circular. Like, right. They go all the way around. It's like sitting in a real stadium.
Yeah.
Except they're going 180 miles an hour or whatever they are on the track.
It's insane.
Yeah. I don't know how it was for a baseball venue. I know it rained a lot that day, but whatever. It was a good, good time there. Question number three.
All right. Lewis Hamilton, arguably the most popular driver in the world right now. What circuit does he race in? Is it A, IndyCar, B, Formula One, or C, NASCAR?
Formula One, baby.
Oh, there you go. All right.
He is pop culture everything in all the magazines. And wasn't he with one of, I think, Kim Kardashian?
I think he's been
on a beach together.
Yeah. I mean, this dude has really crossed over into like mainstream pop culture.
Oh, yeah. He's at the level of, if he wants to be photographed with like a celebrity, he can be.
Yes.
But he can also have like no one around and have whatever flings he's having as
but
well.
But he's
like,
a handsome, well-dressed dude. So he's kind of perfect to be the face of anything.
Oh, yeah. And not hurting for money either, for what it's worth.
No.
Do you know how much those guys make?
A lot.
Like, try $60 million a year. Mm. Contract. Like, they put NFL quarterbacks to shame as much as how much they make per year. It's insane. Go ahead, Dylan. Another question.
Denny Hamlin owns 2311 Racing with this NBA great. Is it A, Michael Jordan, B, LeBron James, or C, Draymond Green?
It is NBA good Michael Jordan.
Yes, the 11 in 2311 is Denny Hamlin's car number. 23, of course, is Michael Jordan. There you go. North Carolina guy. Grew up watching auto racing.
I'm sure.
Loves it. He loves NASCAR.
Back when they were all the tobacco companies sponsoring everything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And your dad worked for some of those. So like
smoking cigarettes everywhere.
Winston Cup,
we had
baby.
The Winston Cup apparel.
Oh, did you really?
Jackets and stuff, yeah.
Those are, do you have any now?
I'm sure there's some in like
the
basement.
You find some, you go put those on eBay, they will do numbers.
I will wear them.
Oh, I was just say, they'll do, if they fit you, yeah, you should, because they, those would be awesome.
Sweet.
All right, one more, Dylan.
All right, this is my last one, so we'll see if Joshua can go 5 for 5. LeBron James is a minority owner of this race team via his ownership stake in Fenway Sports Group. Is it A, RFK Racing, B, Hendrick Motorsports, or C, Team Penske?
I'm going to use the lifeline here.
Name the three teams again, Dylan.
Is it A, RFK Racing, B, Hendrick Motorsports, or C, Team Penske?
Here's your hint. One of those three was initials.
Yes.
There's a reason why Dylan gave you initials for one of those three.
So it's that one.
That's
lock
right.
Me in, baby.
RFK. Not named after the guy who's, I don't know, whatever he runs in the government. Like, yeah, let's go racing. No, it's not that guy.
The guy who says you should eat sauerkraut, period.
Yes, no.
That's it?
No.
Sauerkraut and steak.
That is, I forget what, it's Roush, Fenway, Keselowski, yeah. I believe is the RFK.
Okay. All right.
That's what that
stands
for. So he's
trying to bleep the F out.
So Fenway, right, because
yes.
LeBron is part of the Fenway Sports Ownership Group. Yes, that's it, right.
All right.
He also, do you know what soccer team he owns?
No.
Liverpool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good
I
for
mean,
him.
A right. small no, no, fractional, but yeah, like they,
that's awesome, though.
They own that. Yeah. They own a bunch of other stuff. Obviously, the Red Sox. You know,
man.
So, yeah. There you go.
Well, that was a fun game.
There we go. Perfect.
It was fun because you did well for the first time.
That's right. That's right. Because you want to know why? It's because you didn't racially profile me in the creation of the game. That's why.
I don't know. There was a lot of NASCAR questions. So
yeah,
we could
NASCAR can be for anybody.
It can be.
Yeah.
We know what it has been.
Well, lights are good.
Thank you, Ryan. By the way, Barrett Jackson Auto Auction is June 25th to the 27th at the Ohio State Fairgrounds. You can get a 5-pack of tickets right now to see the Barrett Jackson show there, and tickets are on sale at baron-jackson.com. Let's take caller number 5-614-821-9710 to get the 5-pack of Barrett Jackson tickets. When we come back, something? I don't know what we're doing next. Dylan, do you remember? Oh, Buckeye fans are mad about something, scared of something. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about it. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still not liking these slowdowns as you're heading towards downtown Columbus. A crash on that 71 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound is still slowing down a lot of people on this Friday morning. The right shoulder is blocked. That ramp, though, is still open. Delays, not great. 9 miles per hour for your speeds as far back is once again over by Frank Road. If you can, just take an alternate route as you're heading towards downtown. Either 62 or 23 will save you some time. I'm 10TV's Brianna Alpizu with
yourfan.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Guardians avoided a sweep in Milwaukee when they beat the Brewers 4-2 yesterday. The Guards will begin a series in Houston tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. The Cincinnati Reds had the day off yesterday. They'll be in New York this weekend for a three-game series with the Yankees. First pitch from the Bronx is scheduled for 7:05. Team USA will look to get their second win in pool play when they take on Australia in the World Cup. That one is set to get started at 3 o'clock. And Wyndham Clark is your leader at the U.S. Open after round one. He currently enjoys a two-stroke lead over Dustin Johnson. Those two are paired together and just teed off to start the second round. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180 results this summer. With the solution for weight loss, awaken180weightloss.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Only contraband hiding in Tybus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
All right, I'm getting some soccer questions. U.S. playing Australia today in the World Cup. Big game for the U.S. If they win this one, they're pretty much going to win the group, and that would lead to a good matchup in the future as they would move out of the group stage and competition gets tougher from there. They still have another game after this one, but if they can win this one against Australia today at 3, it's a huge game. I got a tweet at Bone and Tyvus 971 from Asphalt Soldier, who said, "Hey, Mr. T-Bone, can you take a minute and explain soccer offsides to us? There's no line on the field like the blue line in hockey." The short answer is no. No, I can. I'll try to give you the best explanation I can without visual aid. It is the radio. But basically, soccer offside is like, the last defender is who you have to, that's the blue line in hockey. Mm. In soccer, it's the last defender that's not a goalkeeper, all right? If you start off ahead of that person, when the ball gets kicked, you're offside. If you're behind that guy, i.e. not between that guy and the goal, then you're onside. The problem is, you're always, those two people are always standing, the forward and the last defender are always standing like right next to each other,
right,
and they're constantly ducking and dodging to try to, the defenders will move up right as the guy's about to kick it to catch the guy offside.
Sure.
The other guys will dance like they're offside and then jump back onside so then they can like stay onside and then make the play. So it's very confusing, but there's literally a guy in soccer. There's two referees who run the sides, the side judges. Their whole, most of their job is literally to hold up a flag when someone's offside.
So, interesting.
Yeah. But now they have like digital technology that'll show that when you're watching the games. Like you're going to watch today at 3 o'clock, right, Joshua?
No. I might actually flip over to Kitchen Nightmares, as a matter of fact.
Can't even get any chance that you're going to watch even a little bit of soccer. That's right. You know what? I respect the fact that you're staying true to your guidance there on that.
Bone, if I get home from my haircut and it's a compelling game in the second half, according to the group chat and social media, I may or may not tune on the USA World
Cup match. Fine. It's all I can ask for is just to give it a look. See. Just give it a looky-loo. See what's going on. I will be like 8 beers in by that point. So you can text me.
What kind of beer?
Oh, whatever.
What's your beer of choice?
So many. But you know what? I feel like because it's America, I should probably go with like an American brewed beer, domestic in this case.
You really don't have to.
Well, there's a billion.
Well, you can't drink an Australian beer.
No Fosters today. No oil cans of Fosters.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's right. No, but you know, I'll go with one of the oldest breweries. I'll go with a Yingling. I have no problem. I've always enjoyed a Yingling. I might go with some of those.
I learned that when T-Bone goes to his laundromat metal shows, though, he enjoys a PBR.
I am a PBR guy too.
So I'll take a PBR. PBR.
Love a PBR.
I love PBR too.
Yeah,
it's piss water.
It's not, doesn't matter.
Here's the thing.
One, it's not. It actually has flavor compared to some of those other lager beers.
Well, if you're drinking Coors Light or Bud Light or Busch, which I know a lot of people are on right now.
Busch.
Like, are you drinking it for the flavor? Or are
no,
you
you're
drinking
not.
It
you're
for pounding the, them. Yeah, you're doing it for the action of drinking beer. You're just consuming.
Yeah.
If no. you say you enjoy the taste of light beer, call the number.
But PBR is right, definitely yes. better than those.
Yeah, PBR has some hoppiness. A slight. It's I'm sorry to the guys who are like, does it have 80 IBUs? No, yeah, okay. I'm not saying that, but it has some hoppiness to it,
to
at
me,
least.
PBR is down there with like Keystone.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's,
come on,
I'm not
dude.
Even. I'm not even going to entertain that.
That's
I'm
terrible.
Sorry. That's fighting words right there.
Terrible.
Totally off base. No, but I'll probably go like, yeah, Yingling PBR. I'll probably switch back and forth between those.
Fair enough.
PBR is one of those that readily available. If I can get it in like the taller cans, then yeah. I'm all in on that.
I thought you were going to be with your kids.
That changed. That changed. That now is I'm not gonna. No, now I'm going to a bar and we're gonna just drink. So that's what we're doing.
Okay, yeah. I was just making sure you.
Well,
weren't,
you know why?
Because going to like the Peter Griffin School of Parenting.
My wife said, "What do you want to do for Father's Day?" And I was like, "Actually, I kind of just want to go watch a soccer game." She's like, "Cool, just leave the kids here and just go do that." So that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
So there we go. Yep. So there we are. So Buckeye fans are all worked up about something. Brady Edmonds. He's a quarterback commit in the 2027 mm-hmm. class, I believe. He's been committed to Ohio State for over 18 months. He's got an official visit this weekend that could determine whether or not he stays to the commitment with the Buckeyes. He said, I've got a couple questions I want to ask. He was at the 7-on-7 tournament that Ohio State was putting on yesterday or Wednesday. He said, at the end of the day, I think wherever I end up, I think I'm going to make the most of it. Now, he made an official visit to UCLA back on June 5th, and he told reporters Wednesday he had a great experience, and he's got a growing relationship with the program's new head coach, Bob Chesney, who, of course, led James Madison to their college football playoff berth. I'll ask you, Joshua, then I've got thoughts too, but do you think Buckeye fans should be worried about Brady Edmonds doing a flip?
I'm worried, I think, comes from two things. Like, are you worried that it's actually going to happen, or are you worried that it's going to, like, kill the program? Right, because should people be worried that this might actually happen? Yeah, I think that's a legitimate thing, right? He's going on visits, and of course, right, came to 7-on-7, wanted to get some clarification about his situation here, but 18 months is a long time to be committed, and there's still time to go. Like, of course, things can change in that time. Now, if your concern is, like, we don't get this quarterback, and now the future of the quarterback position at Ohio State is in jeopardy, and it's going to be a dire situation, and we're never going to win games, and everything's going to hell in a handbasket, you need to touch grass.
Well,
right. So yeah. Like, yeah, maybe you can be concerned that, like, here's this guy who we've been courting for so long, and he might actually go somewhere else. That's fair. The impact of that, let's not overstate the impact that it would have on the program, that a kid that has, I mean, he's a kid, right? Like,
yeah.
Has to develop, has to get better. That's not going to kill Ohio State football.
No, and also, like, I said this at the time when the transfer portal happened this year, you know, where, what, 40 guys from Ohio State were in the portal at one point, like every school. Not like it was just happening here. But I said at the time, I was like, because what happened after that was a bunch of the OSU media and fans and, like, the Sunshine Brigade, as I like to call them, came out of the woodwork to say, oh, my gosh, you're panicking because, like, all these guys who left suck. They're all terrible. They don't even matter. They're never going to play here. They're all losers. And then some of the bigger names started going. You're like, that still doesn't matter. And we're going to win the transfer portal. And then they went out. And I'll be fair to Ryan Day and the staff. They went out and got a bunch of dudes in the transfer portal.
They did a good
who
job.
Seemed like pretty good replacements. And hopefully yep. they went the veteran route versus let's promote like freshmen and sophomores.
No doubt.
Fine. But then what I said at the time is don't come to me 18 months before or 9 months before or 3 months before a guy commits and be like, you got to really freak out about this and care about this. It can't be both of them, folks.
Right.
Like, I can't be so locked in on high school recruiting that when these guys come to campus, I'm like, great, that position's set. We got a bunch of depth there. Only to have the next year or two, half those guys leave. I have to now change my focus, change my expectations to when the transfer portal opens, that's where I'm focused. High school recruiting means so much less to me. So, yeah, if this kid gets wooed by Bob Chesney or Kenny Chesney or whoever Chesney he gets, that's great. Let him live. Go get on his big green couch or whatever the song. I don't remember which Chesney song that is. Anyway.
That's Big Green Tractor, and it's not Kenny Chesney.
No. But. Isn't there a song about sitting on the couch in the...
The big blue couch?
There's something. That, there's something where... whatever.
The big comfy couch. Remember that show?
Yeah,
with the... Lunette and Molly, the clown or Dolly.
That's probably what I meant. I don't know. The point is, if this guy goes to UCLA, good. By all means, if I'm Ohio State, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. How's that going to work out for you? Like, I'm just saying, have the confidence in yourself that if if this kid does flip, Ryan Day will go out and get someone that will be able to replace him. You also have a guy waiting in the rings,
yes,
who is a five-star kid who should be awesome, in Tavian St. Clair, who has no concerns about wanting to be here. So
there's a balance to this, by the way, right? Like, you got to pay high school kids now, and you don't want to overpay for unproven high school kids. So right, there's a factor in that. Like, if he's NIL shopping, it just might get to a point where it's like, we're not going to do that. So they have to be considerate of that. But there's also the consideration of, we'd still like to have some guys that are program guys we got out of high school that know what it's like to be here for multiple years at a time. So when we do bring in transfers, you know, they can assimilate to our guys instead of our program having to assimilate to a bunch of transfers. So there are a lot of ways that people are feeling about this whole thing. I think your point is the point. It's Ohio State. You're going to figure it out one way or another. Like, whether you actually get the guy or whether you got to go out in the portal and get a different one.
Yeah, like, I get your point, Joshua, but in a nightmare scenario where, like, Tavian St. Clair hits the portal and Brady Edmonds decides
then
that
go
he's
out
going
and pay
to
pay $7 million to a guy.
The last two starting quarterbacks here at Ohio State that they got out of the transfer portal, not too bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Go be the tamper king, do the Lane Kiffin, pay $7 million to a guy, you'll get whoever the hell you want.
I'm just saying, whatever system you're worried about being in college football, not healthy, you know, transfer portal, NIL, all this stuff, high school recruits now getting paid. Guess who's better suited to handle that than just about every other school? Ohio State, Texas, those type of schools. And you never should have to worry about that here at Ohio State. No. That's my point. Don't be concerned about, you just don't want to lose any, you don't want to lose any of these guys, but it's not going to affect the main big picture, as long as the other parts don't fall off too.
Sometimes they do want to lose some guys, though, I will say.
Yeah, there's probably times where they look at it and go, oh, wait, we can get this other kid.
It's like, we saw you 18 months ago, and boy, and I don't know how much has changed, but
right,
you haven't
sure
got that much better.
But
I'm not saying that's the case
no,
here.
No, but they'll honor the commitment. But
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyvus has let it been known that Urban told him to go to Akron.
But that was when he was in the program.
Yeah.
Urban
told to all of us to go elsewhere at one point or another. He was this close to getting me a Greyhound ticket to hell at one point. Like.
Morning Breath is coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good Friday morning to you. Right now, we are still watching some breaking news out in Marysville. 36 is closed in both directions, just passing Mackin Road and near that 33 area. According to Marysville PD, it involves two cars, one of which is a semi. It was full of gravel. Because of that crash, gravel is now all over the road, making cleanup pretty difficult for crew members this morning. That workaround, definitely take Country Home Road to get around this, because traffic is certainly backing up. I'm 10 TV's Brianna Albizu with your org.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Expect it to be partly cloudy skies to start the day, with wake-up temperatures in the 50s, and then for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine with highs in the upper 70s and breezy winds. For tonight, mostly clear overnight with our lows down into the mid to upper 50s, and then mostly sunny with spotty showers and storms on Saturday. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Sometimes it's better if people just shut up.
Shut up!
It's time for Morning Breath.
All right. This is a little bit of loser talk. I'm going to forewarn you, from an SEC coach. Steve Sarkisian was talking about the fact that ultimately playing some of the big names in college sports, while he really, really wants to do it, he's not so sure if games like a future scheduled home and home between Texas and Notre Dame, if that game will happen unless changes are made to college football. Here's Steve Sarkisian.
Knowing we have Notre Dame still scheduled with a home and home, is what's going to happen to the CFP? That's the hard part, coach. Is it going to expand? Are we going to go to 16? Are we going to go to 24? And is that then going to maybe, say, entice us back to keeping those non-conference games? Because right now, it's a little bit of a flux, and we're going to learn more. You know, is the CFP going to adjust some of those metrics, to your point, of what the schedule looks like? Because I can tell you, and you and Mark know this, like when you're at Florida, when you're at Alabama, when you're at Texas, when you're at Ohio State, those players and coaches, we want to play in those games.
Yes.
we love those games. You know, we love those preseason games to say, hey, I want to go play against the best players in the country, the guys that I was on recruiting trips with, the coaches that I respect a ton for the way they get their teams prepared to play. I just don't want to be punished for it.
That is Steve Sarkisian on the Triple Option podcast with Urban Meyer, Mark Ingram, and Rob Stone. But, yeah. No, he wants to play these games, Joshua. He really does. But unless the playoffs change, I don't know if we can do it.
So the only point of slight defense I'll give is, and he lost to Florida. That's what everybody's like, oh, they lost to Florida last year. But playing Ohio State in week one, that was one of the reasons why, right? And so I get where he's like, yeah, I mean, we got to get certain assurances if we want to make sure this can happen. The flip side of that for me is I really don't give a damn, because everybody told me with each round of playoff expansion that we were going to have better matchups in the non-conference because you had more wiggle room to lose games. And all I'm seeing right now is schools being like, oh, we're canceling that series. We're canceling that. We're canceling that. Because they're all scared, and they know that the committee will just rank everybody, all of the undefeated teams, all of the one-loss teams, all of the two-loss teams. They don't make hard decisions. And so these guys are like, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So I get where he's coming from, but I hate it because everybody lied to me about what was going to happen because the postseason got bigger.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that. Here's what I don't like is this whole notion that college football coaches have, this entitlement I feel like some of them have to, we need an assurance of we'll have a playoff spot even if we play these tough games. Uh-huh. I know why they say it, mm-hmm. right? Because like in the NFL, you don't get an assurance that you'll make the playoffs. What you get is if you win your division,
right.
You're in. There is a clear, if you do this goal, you get into the playoffs and no one can take that away from you. And my argument would be it's a lot tougher than winning a, you know, four-team division, obviously.
Sure.
But if you win your conference, you're getting to the playoffs. And in a conference like the SEC, if you win your conference or in your conference championship game, you're going to the playoffs. They don't focus on that. They focus on, and this is where I think it's loser talk, is, well, what if I'm not in the conference championship? And what if I'm not in, you know, like the third best team? Then what happens? And it's like, well, at some point, man, you're Texas. You're not coaching at McNeese State. Like, I don't understand why these coaches don't look at that as like, great, what an opportunity. Let's go out there and prove to the world what
no,
we can do.
That's not
They look at it as, how can I make the process the easiest for me to get into the playoffs?
And by the way, the only reason people are starting to do this is we did the complete opposite of what was supposed to happen when the playoff got bigger.
Yep.
The playoff gets bigger. We're supposed to get more of these games that mean a lot, right? But as the playoff got bigger, the emphasis all shifted to the playoff. So now people are like, oh man, I don't want to lose because my job security and right. I have to make it. And so now we've got all this loser talk, as you're mentioning, and nobody, by the way, people are starting to not care about what happens in the regular season as much anyway, because they just want to watch the dumbass tournament mm-hmm. that happens at the end of the year.
Yep.
So once again, I understand how we got here. It's just disappointing to me that we did that, because we're everything that we used to enjoy, which was Ohio State plays Texas early in the year, and that might be do or die. And we were fine with that because you could still play in a New Year's Six bowl game if you won the rest of your games.
Yeah.
And we used to like the Fiesta Bowl trophy. We used to like the Rose Bowl. We used to like the Sugar and the Peach, right? Like, we used to love the Orange Bowl. We don't like that anymore. And yeah. It's bothersome.
It is. I just feel like expanding the playoffs, a lot of people had the hope that that would allow us to enjoy more, not carefree matchups, but like Ohio State and Texas will do stuff like that more often. You will
right.
see more of those games because those schools will all say, that's all right, we're probably both going to make the playoffs. But now what's happened is the SEC has gaslit themselves with their mm-hmm. own. They got high on their own supply, where now it's like our gauntlet that we play in the
yeah.
SEC.
Yeah.
We have to play 9 conference games now. Our players might die. And it's like, all right, man, like the SEC's tough. But yeah. they act like it's just a quadruple variation from like the next toughest conference. That's not true. Like, it is slightly tougher maybe than the rank and file Big Ten.
Arkansas still plays in that conference.
Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, you guys struggled with them last. A lot of teams, not Texas necessarily. I don't remember what they did against Arkansas, but a lot of teams.
I know Notre Dame didn't.
A lot of teams struggled with them. Notre Dame did not. Exactly right.
Well, and Sark's been banging this drum the whole offseason, and part of his argument is like, oh, like, yeah, we lost to Ohio State, but we also lost in the Swamp, which is a really tough place to play.
God.
The past couple of years, the Swamp has not been a really tough place to play.
Yeah.
And he wants to have his cake and eat it, too, when it comes to scheduling teams like Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame. And he's like, hey, we scheduled these teams, so we should get the benefit of the doubt.
But that's what people told them when it expanded, though. That's why I don't fault him for feeling this way. That's what everybody said was going to happen, is you could play it, and we're not going to penalize you as much because it is a 12-team field.
I feel like a logical person would say the reason why you scheduled these games because if you win them, when it comes to the end of the season, that's on your resume.
What happens if you lose that game, though?
No, but that's where I'm calling it loser talk. Yes. It's like they look at it as, yeah, but what if I lose?
I understand
that. I don't know any college football. Like, would Urban allow you guys to say, yeah, coach, what if we lose this game? What happens then? Like, I know the logic. I know the reality of it. But, like, what happened to the coaches who are like, we're not planning on losing these games. I'm not afraid of it.
They all died when the BCS died. They all died when the 14 playoff died. And now we get this loser talk, and then we get people pretending to care that Iowa and Minnesota is a big game because it might have playoff implications. And we know good and damn well neither one of those teams are winning a title.
Yes, like we want to take the focus off of OSU Michigan and put it on those games.
Exactly.
To your point, that's what 2014 playoff will do. Is now all these Texas Ohio State games will have no juice to them,
right?
Because there's no stakes.
There's no stakes.
I need stakes on a game. I need to know that it's impactful. And the more we expand, yes, the more guys like Sark will be happy. But the less we're going to have impactful college football games, it'll still matter. Between we want to beat Texas, we want to beat Michigan, all that stuff. But it's going to cause those games that we've always thought to mean so much. And like, boy, if you lose this game, that could be the end of your season. You may not go to the playoffs. You may not have a championship chance. Well, now that's all over. Like, that you'll still have a chance to do all that stuff. And I don't get it. But your point you brought up earlier about, I think what a lot of these coaches lean into is the fact that they know Texas is going to get picked because, well, we're Texas.
Right.
If we, like, I think your boy Kurt Cignetti, who has like clearly revolutionized the game, I think the fact that he came in and said, I'm playing nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Do something about it. I don't care. He went out and won a national championship that way. Now all these copycats are like, let's go do it Cignetti's way, which Kurt Cignetti did that at Indy freaking Anna. Like, he didn't do it at Texas, Notre Dame, Ohio State, because he's trying to build something there. To defend him a little bit, he said, what's the benefit for me trying to go play every big
dog? What's the benefit for any of the big brands if it's going to hold you out? Like, the whole idea is not to get held out.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is now the problem is Indiana proved that you don't have to have a big brand.
Yes.
You can play nobody. As long as your record's good, you'll be in and you have a chance to prove yourself.
That's the way it was always going to be, though. As long as you were in a power conference, you could have played Olentangy High School, Pickerington North, and Marysville. And as long as you were in the Big Ten or the SEC and you won your games there, you were going to be fine.
Yeah, well, I guess it's just... At some point, this is where you need someone whose whole interest in scheduling is not preserving their own job. Like the NFL, Roger Goodell doesn't care if you as a coach get fired. They're going to put a schedule together that's going to hopefully serve a whole bunch of different benefits, but like it's going to create good matchups. You don't have that in college football. It's not centralized.
Well, I think the argument for programs like Texas and Sark now is like, okay, we'll play a cupcake regular season schedule. You get your marquee matchups in the playoffs now. That's when you can get them.
In the SEC, where we're forced to play certain teams in the SEC. And then they all complain every single time they get more than like two premier SEC programs on their schedule.
The amount of complaining that's getting ready to happen in that conference, going to nine conference games, half the conference
going
to be toting
it.
An extra L. Oh my God. It's going to be insufferable.
Because they thought when they did that, they were going to get guaranteed like five playoff spots and expand to like 16 or 24. And it hasn't happened.
You played yourselves.
Good for them. Good. Couldn't happen to a nicer conference.
SEC.
Yeah. The World Cup's causing a headache for NFL owners. Details in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, some much better news for our drivers heading downtown. A crash has officially cleared up on that 71 northbound ramp to 70 eastbound. Traffic cams looking just nice and smooth, that road over by Greenlawn Avenue out there. No other crashes to talk about happening around the metro this morning. Madison County looking great if you're heading downtown right there. 40 eastbound, 19-minute commute between 42 to 270. If you can, take 70 east. That's a great way right here in the green at 12 minutes to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
com.
T-Bone and Tybus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Every time Tybus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
A happy Juneteenth to everyone listening today. It is Juneteenth.
To everyone.
Everyone. I think it's a, I think it's a thing we, like, we say happy July 4th to everyone.
Right.
We are celebrating today the end of slavery.
Yes.
That should be a thing that whether, whatever your skin color, you should be happy that people are not enslaved in the United States of America. This is a happy day for everyone.
Yeah.
So, yes, happy Juneteenth, everyone. I hope you're getting a chance to celebrate, whether you get the day off or not. Hopefully you reflect on what that means. Also, for those of you who are listening in Columbus, happy Pride weekend as well. I know the Pride Parade is tomorrow downtown Columbus. Support all you guys that are going to be out at that. We have the Fan 5K tomorrow as well. If you're coming out to anything with that, we will be there at 8 a.m. at Otterbein on their campus. We're going to be starting off at 8 because it got super hot last year when we started at 9. So we're a little early. We've got the 1 mile race that Common Man's doing, the 5K. I'll be a part of that. 9.71K. You can be a part of that too. There's still time to sign up. 971therace.com is the place to go to sign up there. But yeah, we'll see you out there tomorrow, hopefully. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a nice day for it. The weather's looking awesome. So good weekend here in the city.
Well, Father's Day this weekend too.
Oh yeah, happy Father's Day to everybody too.
Screw those guys.
I know. It's so, like, hey, you listen, what's the hottest restaurant for brunch right now? Got plenty of reservations for Sunday. You can walk right on in. You can walk in. You don't even need to book a reservation.
I thought so much about Mother's Day. And I have, my mom and dad are still living, right? So like, I thought a ton about Mother's Day because I'm married to a mother. And also I have my mom and all that. But now that I'm a father, I don't think as much about Father's Day, not because of my dad, but because for me, I'm just like, well, I don't need, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm just glad to be a dad. But like, I don't think about it the same way as I think about what am I going to do for my wife and for my mom. So like for dad, I do have thoughts on what I'm getting him. I do have to pick up his gift still. But like, yeah, I'm going to see dad on Sunday. But happy Father's Day to everybody. But I don't think about it for myself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting there like, yeah, what's everybody going to do for me? Like, yeah. I have like no expectations.
Yeah, like for me on Sunday, I'm going to take Gianna to see Toy Story 5.
Right. That's You're going to just be a father.
Yes.
That's what
I'm not going to go see Toy Story for me. It's for her.
Yeah, of course.
Meanwhile, on Mother's Day, the moms be like, I don't want to see anybody. I'm going to the spa. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Yeah. I'm not going to be a mom.
Yep, that's right. My little Father's Day celebration today, I'm going to watch the U.S. play Australia. I'm going to go hang out with some buddies, go get some drinks in. Should be a fun time. But I noticed this. The World Cup has done something to the NFL that I think is great. I'm curious how you feel about it. So all these NFL stadiums to convert for the World Cup, FIFA requires them, whether they have artificial turf, concrete, or, I don't know, gravel, they have to change to actually natural turf. Natural grass has to be the surface they play the World Cup on. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's the rule. If you want to host a FIFA World Cup game, that's what you have to do. Well, go figure. Some of these stadiums are indoors. Some of these stadiums have artificial turf the rest of the year. But now that they put in a regular turf, they have systems. They can put its sprinklers in. Mm-hmm. They can put little grow lamps that they roll out on the field to grow the grass to keep it
People
healthy.
People got those in their basement, too.
Hey, that's, you know, that's right.
Where are we at?
Thank you. So that's now showing a lot of the players that, hey, wait a second. You can grow grass for FIFA for a month, but you can't grow grass for us? Did you know this stat? I didn't know it. NFLPA says 92% of players, when they asked a poll, would you rather play on natural surfaces or artificial surfaces, they said natural grass.
Yes.
92% of players have said that.
Yep.
I mean, you played, I can't speak to the differences. You played on artificial turf here at the Shoe, and you, I don't know, what was the surface you played on in San Diego? Was it natural at the time? You were,
yeah, it was.
Okay. So, like, but you played on natural surfaces in the Big Ten and everywhere else. Like, what was your preference?
I love a natural grass field. It just feels better on your body. Like, people don't realize how hard turf is. And so, you know, just your joints clanking around on it. It's like basketball players. I give them all the credit in the world for running up and down on the hardwood all day. I'm not doing that. So when you would get on grass, like, certainly it would feel easier on your joints. But the grass, the biggest benefit there is when you plant your foot and let's say it gets stuck and you got some momentum going. The grass just tears, right? Your feet kind of dig into the surface and it's got some give to it. You get stuck in the turf ACL gone.
Yeah, it
ACL gone.
Did you see Travis Bazzano with the Guardians the other night? I forget where they were, but he was trying to field a ball at second, and he like dug his foot into the turf. And I'm not kidding, like a 4-foot divot of grass came up. And people were like, what the hell's wrong with their grass? What do they do there? And yeah, that seemed like a failure. But the point was, if it was not grass, I don't know how much power he put down, but I don't know what happens to his leg in that situation, right?
Like snap.
Well, yeah, like you don't know, but... And still injuries happen on grass,
no doubt.
Like natural grass is, by every study they've done, the Players Association did a study on this. They found that, and this was quoted by J.C. Treader back in the day. They did a study from 2012 to 2018 that showed the players suffered a 28% higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries when playing on turf versus natural grass. More specifically, non-contact knee injuries occurred at a 32% higher rate. Non-contact foot and ankle injuries were a whopping 69%, nice, more than if they were on grass. Foot and ankle injuries, almost 70% higher incidence rate on turf, on artificial turf. Here's my question. If you're an NFL owner, yes, you make billions of dollars, you're probably worth billions of dollars. This is going to cost you more money to maintain natural surfaces in cold weather cities, in cities where you have a dome, but it can be done. You're proving it with the World Cup right now, at least with the dome situation. Why wouldn't you want to spend the extra money to give your players a better chance of staying healthy? Not because you care about the longevity of their ligaments or I'm sure you do, but like cynically, don't you just want to have a football team that has more healthy players on it more often?
I mean,
that be a good thing?
Do you want Luke Combs traipsing around your natural grass field and they got to pull out the big stages and all the stanchions and whatnot? And they got to, now your stuff's all torn up.
See, that's
now your stuff's all torn up.
That's the problem, is that they want to do all this other stuff in the stadium. It's just easier. It's more convenient for the people moving stuff around.
You just said the words easier. Mm-hmm. And I would say cheaper.
Yeah,
because here's the thing. There are lots of people who would gladly be paid to be full-time turf maintenance people for the right price who will deal with the fact that Luke Combs has his truckloads of stuff that they have to put down, and then they have to take it all back up, and then they got to rehab the grass, and they're spending 18-hour days trying to fix this grass for the game that's coming up in 2 weeks. It costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And these billionaire owners are so damn cheap. They want to charge you and me and everybody else all this money to go there and pay to watch these games, but they don't want to do the basics to give their team the best competitive edge to be healthy. Like Aaron Rodgers running out on that field and then blowing his leg out on the terrible Jets turf that every guy in the NFL who's ever played on it said that's the worst turf in the league.
Yeah, but that was more age, like doing it that early.
Into
the dark and it didn't even help.
That's true.
I'm just saying, like, the Jets have had so many injuries there.
Yes.
And yet their owner doesn't want to change the grass because it's like he'll do it for FIFA, but he won't do it for his own team. Makes no sense.
No, it makes perfect sense to me. This is how these guys think. Like, it's harder to have a multi-purpose venue when you are constantly having to bring the grass kids in to help you fix your turf.
I don't understand it. I mean, like, at least, and I don't like it that the college argument is this, like, I don't feel like at Ohio State you should ever have to cut corners on cost. But the argument is at least, well, hey, these athletic budgets are getting out of control and we're trying to find, you know, maintaining turf. I get it why high schools do it too. Yeah. It's way cheaper to maintain artificial turf.
Absolutely.
I cannot hear it when you're taking public dollars. The Haslam's taking $600 million to build a stadium and then say, oh yeah, we can't afford to like have fake or real grass in there. Yes, you can. We gave you all the money from the state's coffers to do it. So just put a little couple extra million on it and figure it out. Like it boggles my mind that they won't do something that simple when there's a clear competitive advantage to keeping your players healthier so you can actually have the roster you built.
But maybe some of these guys are hoping that the visiting players come in and lose that Achilles. maybe that's where they think the advantage comes.
You're probably right.
You mentioned with Aaron Rodgers, it was probably the turf. You say it's old age. I think it's because he wasn't on his regular dosage of ivermectin anymore.
That's probably what it was. Yeah.
The horse goo.
Yeah. Probably right. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably what it
his
was.
His Achilles, they were weak. They were weaker.
That's right. We'll hit the buzzer coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Just noticing one crash as you're heading towards downtown Columbus. It's over by Fort Hayes Park 2. 670 in that eastbound direction at State Route 3, also known as Cleveland Avenue. That right lane is blocked. As we can see with our traffic cams, it does involve two cars out there. Pretty damaged too, so hope everyone is okay. As we can see, once again, that right lane is blocked and definitely expect some slowdowns. 22 miles per hour as you approach the scene. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Tony.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long.
If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you.
Your home of the Reds.
The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show.
You won't have any more problems.
This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Well, Joshua Perry's final segment, filling in for Tyvus.
Might tear up a little bit.
I know. It's been a three-week run, but you are now nearing the end of it. Thanks for all the time here today and this last 3 weeks. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for all the laughs. Been, like I said, a ton of fun. Really appreciate the YouTube chat here as well. I've been on basically all the shows now and all the chats are a little bit different. These guys are insane for getting up early and just being in there for three straight hours.
They're great.
Yeah, the whole setup is great.
We have guys that have been in there since 6 a.m. that are still in there. And we appreciate you guys every single day. Austin Ward is joining us now, filling in on Bishop and Friends this morning. And Austin, you have, do I detect a Chad Marshall 14?
There's no name on the back.
Okay.
But you can recognize this from the 2009-2010 United States era. We've still got the old school badge before. Bone, when did all teams decide they would just ruin their logos?
I don't know. Everybody had to rebrand. The U.S. soccer logo that you're wearing is one of my favorites. It's the U and the S with the soccer ball exploding through the middle of it. And I've always enjoyed that logo, but
yeah, but so
yeah, they've changed it.
We've also got, this was the red. They only ever wore, I think, in maybe three games at most. I was like, why are we not leaning fully into it? It's got the blue across the chest. Anyway, I had to pick, and the guys were giving me a hard time out in the hallway. They're like, how many U.S. soccer jerseys do you have? I was like, I don't think I should answer that. What are you, a cop?
I don't need to have that out there as how many jerseys I, because trust me, that is the thing with soccer fans. It's like, don't even ask me how many times I bought a random jersey that's like, oh, this team was good in this one year and I liked this player, so I bought the like third jersey of a second division team. I've never worn it again. I have no connection to that city or that player, but at that moment, I liked the way that jersey looked. I bought it, and now I have like that jersey in my collection.
Yeah, I have all those, and that's also why I personally avoid another grown man's last name on the back of my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my guy.
That's my approach. So, like, I got to decide. It's a big game. It's a World Cup game. Which one do I want? This was the first U.S. soccer jersey that I ever owned, so it gets special allotment when you get into World Cup games, knockout games. The real centerpiece, though, and I had to decide, is today the day or next Thursday the day? It is the striped, you know, got the bomb pop. We've got the 76 with Hancock on the back.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That grown man has been dead for now 250 years.
Are we saying John?
Yeah, we got a John Hancock 76.
John Hancock. I like
so that's what go. That one's my favorite. We'll get we'll get that one out next week.
Has your nickname ever become the American Outlaw, and why has it not, is what I'm saying. Why don't we call Austin Ward the American Outlaw?
I'd love to be that for Columbus, but I think back to our trip in 2014 to Brazil with the American Outlaws. And I think probably everyone who was there was like, no, I'm the American Outlaw to my friends. No, yes. I am. And then everyone's just fighting over it. But it's cool how that part has continued even at the, during the challenges of FIFA trying to ruin the World Cup and soccer as a whole.
Always.
The fact that it's still going strong. And there were new fans getting involved. I talked to some, you know, people that, you know, at Ohio State football camps last week. They're like, where should we go watch these games? Like we're excited for it. And we hear that there's, you know, supporters clubs that get together in Columbus. I'm like, well, I think If you try Land Grant on Friday night, you might have a pretty good time.
Yeah.
They came back over the weekend. They're like, holy cow, that was amazing. and I'm like, yeah, I've been telling you. You can also catch live soccer. You're going to like that too. But the experience of a World Cup game where you just, everybody in there, you know, is going to be cheering for the same team and it's your country and it's red, white, and blue and all that stuff is easy to point in one direction. You know, and today in the middle of the afternoon, I think it's probably, and with a lot of people having the day off for Juneteenth, for that celebration, I think you're going to have plenty of opportunities to really go lean in and make the most of what should be a fun afternoon.
All right, so tell me how you're going to lean in this afternoon. I know you've got some JP logistics to work through, but how's the setup going to be?
We don't know. All right, so life comes at you fast.
Yes, it does.
You got to juggle the responsibilities. So we've got Liberty in a drama camp this week. That's sort of been the thing. Last week was pickleball, but she goes back and forth between the sports and she loves being on stage, JP. So she's in this camp. She's got her performance at 4 o'clock. The game kicks off at 3. So Allie and I we're looking at this like, this can't, this just can't be happening. Of all the times. She said, well, you don't have to go. So what's my daughter on stage? I'm not.
Do the right thing.
I'm not going to be going out to have a soda wherever in the midst of Liberty performing. So we think it's some theater downtown. We think that we'll be able to go find an establishment, watch the first half, probably all of it, depending on how many commercials Fox shows during the water breaks and how long that lasts. A really fun addition to soccer, by the way.
Yeah, stopping the game midway. Dude, again, this is, I know some people probably look at us soccer fans. I know, Joshua, you're not like into soccer at all, but like, when you watch a soccer game, the beauty of it is it starts at 0, it goes to 45, and they add stoppage time or whatever, but it's like, that is the thing, is you have to go for 45 minutes.
Right.
The hydration break started because sometimes there were games in Qatar when they had the last World Cup where it was like 110 degrees, possibly air temperature. They're like, we don't want people to die on the field, so let's work in a little water break here or there.
It's fair.
Now, when the temperature mandated it, now FIFA this year was like, well, mandated water break in every game. Yesterday, I'm watching a game that was in Vancouver, where the stadium is indoors and the roof is closed. So it's air conditioned and they're still putting in a hydration break.
So
guys
think guys need water?
It's not that they don't need water.
I mean, hey,
they get
water.
Think
what do you think most of your body's made up of?
They get water. They can get water. You know what they do? When somebody like gets hit and they fall down and they grab their ankle, all these guys run over to the goalie and are like, give me your water bottle.
Your water.
And they drink their water and they run back and that's the game. But now they're putting commercial breaks in. That's why FIFA did this.
Of course. But
although,
then you miss action.
Here's what I've done. I've been watching, what is it? Univision? Telemundo? Whichever one is has the games on it, the Spanish language channel, they do not do that.
Oh.
They do not do the commercials.
So
they just show the players and they like are like, look at the coach, look at what's happening here, and they'll show like arguments that are happening with the team, and you can actually like see what's happening during these breaks. There's no commercials there.
Good. So we can blame Fox for that. That's good to know.
I do blame them.
So the performance is supposed to go 15 minutes, and then, you know, however much game time we miss, and we'll head over. I think Allie told me that we're close to the Commons, so I think there'll be a ton of people out there for that. I know we watched some, maybe it was the 18 World Cup in Russia. They had people down there for that. Lovely, lovely spot. Be outside in Columbus and watch the game. So we are going to miss a piece, but we're going to watch it in a couple different spots, make sure that we do our part.
You are being a good parent.
that's job one.
Been there, done that so many times where I'm like, oh, it's when? Oh, smack during this NBA playoff game.
He's
that's when the recital
that Father's
is.
Day. Now you can't go into Father's Day weekend not being a father.
Absolutely right.
That's right.
All right, so coming up on...
Rescind it.
Yes. Yeah. Which, was there much to rescind in the first place?
No, exactly right. So you're in for Bo today. Do you know what's coming up on the show yet?
Yeah, so the guys asked me this morning, like, have you been out at the Ohio State camps this week? Yes, check that box. I was at the Shot yesterday for Ohio State basketball's open practice. I watched Jet Harrison's workout with the Buckeyes. He came in, not unannounced, but didn't give much advance warning of that. The number one player in the country and the brother of Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think that was a pretty big deal. We're going to get into that. Reese wants to talk to me about some soccer jerseys in my collection. So I don't know where all that's going to go.
Beautiful.
Christian Pulisic's calf So if you want some soccer, it's probably more than you get on a normal Bishop and Friends with me in, but we're going to get into to all that, plus some U.S. Open conversation. Shinnecock, just an absolute bear out there for these guys, except Wyndham Clark at this point. So, pretty wide-ranging show. This June, Bone, JP, I don't know how you guys feel. It feels like it's way more jam-packed with sports than it's ever been.
Yeah. So much.
Yeah, I think that's right. And plus, the World Cup just, like, happening every day, it's taking up a lot. So there you go. Bishop and Friends, 9 to noon, right here on the Fan.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
So some good numbers for the UFC Freedom 250, the UFC fight that was on the White House lawn this past weekend. The event averaged a decent number. In fact, the most viewers ever on Paramount Plus for one event in the platform's history. That number is 7 million viewers in the United States who tune into the UFC fight. Unfortunately, there were some politicians out there saying that it drew as many as the Super Bowl. They fell just slightly short of that number, about 117.4 million short of the Super Bowl.
Just missed it.
But it's all about marketing. If you would have just said, hey, I think we did pretty well, and then you gave out 7 million, people would say, that's a good number. When you compare it to the Super Bowl, that was probably where you messed
up. That dude hates the NFL so bad, man. just to even think about doing that. Jeez.
Yeah, good idea. Joshua, thanks again for these last few weeks. We appreciate it. He'll be back on Monday with us at 8:30. Tyvus will be back on Monday as well. We'll see you then. It's T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Some breaking news still being reported in Marysville after 36 is closed right now in both directions. It's just past Mackin Road and near that 33 interstate out there. According to first responders, it's involving two cars, one of which is a semi involving some gravel. There's gravel basically all over the road after this incident too. It will take crews a little while longer to clean it up. If you can, use some side roads to get around, including County Home Roads, head eventually 33 and then 36 in both directions. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan traffic. Have a great